participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Up next, these two guys have been here for the last couple weeks. They asked me to read this. Warning, if you want your asses blown out, stay in the room. Ladies and gentlemen,
Don and Mike.
I call him like I see him, and man, there's a lot of possible backstage Bettys in the audience tonight.
I got a bowl of chocolate pudding in my underpants.
We didn't have any pudding in there, buddy.
All right. Time for your starting lineup for the 15th most popular radio show in all of Rockville, Maryland. The Don and Mike Show. This man likes Diet Cherry Coke. He likes Batman, Star Trek,
and playing video games with other little kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, the captain of the ship, Don Geronimo.
Hey, does this suit make me look fat?
No. Your face does.
Whoa. That's not what we're about. Hey, don't confuse the art with the artist. I mean, yeah, up on stage, I'm Zeus, I'm Elvis. But back here, I'm just plain old Jack.
This next man likes to drink alcohol and used to play with crap. His old blues band. Ladies and gentlemen, the great voice impersonator and Don's right-hand man, Mike O'Bara.
I love scotch. I love scotch. Scotch is scotch. Here goes down. Down through my belly.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me. Start a fire in someone's kitchen. Maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off.
This next man is a well-respected Aryan scholar. Used to dress up as a clown, but he has risen to great power on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Spiewak.
Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Hold your tongue, witch.
And this man is part of a long lineage of great newsmen. Dan Rather, Walter Cronkite, Ron Burgundy. He's from the mean streets of Kansas. He likes weed and swinging. The one, the only, Buzz Burbage.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
Last, but not least, the world's oldest phone screener. His idea of a good time is getting drunk and tape recording cicadas in the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Artinger.
Let's say the average person uses 10% of their brain. How much do you use? 1.5%. The rest is clogged with malted hops and bong resin.
I've been up all night shooting cheese balls. That's cocaine and cheese.
Ladies and gentlemen, put on your helmet, strap on your seatbelt, because here comes Don and Mike.
Let's get it started.
He's got more.
Right,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, thank you, dude.
We have ignition and liftoff.
Father in heaven, please let tonight's show go well. Please make them like it.
Thank you to loyal listener Mike Sanoff.
Is that our cue?
Yeah.
Don and Mike Show.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Hello there.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. Hello?
You can suck this.
Come on, come on. Make the way.
mind your own effing business.
Are you a drunk?
You effing C word.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
Just
not nice.
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
We appreciate it.
You effing C word.
Damn, damn, damn.
You're trading sex for alcohol and food. Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Arrest, rest, Bill.
Bring us in
now, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah.
Now, baby, we start with who doesn't love CCR? And as you can tell by the smell, this is Don and Mike's show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
0927. 06, it is September 27th. You can call us from anywhere in America. Here's the toll-free line, 877-365-3636. One number, no waiting. Want to hear us on your computer? Go to dynamitewebsite.com and click on Listen Live. Want to send us some fan mail? We love fan mail.
Oh, yeah.
The e-fan mail. Send it. Oh, it's piling up. And we're sending out our best wishes, and everybody's joining the fan club.
Yeah, Johnny answers it and puts that lipstick on and puts that little kiss mark on everything.
All you got to do is send us an email if you want during the show, dynamitewebsite.com. If it's not, let it rot. If it's brown, let it drown. If
it's not that important.
If it's yellow, let it mellow.
I thought it was custard, but it's not.
Thank you, Rob.
Is that the definitive one?
Right. That's it. You can get us on the internet. You can email us at our website. We're also on iTunes. And if you go to the front page of our website now, you can just one click, and it leads you right to iTunes. And then you're on your own, Jackson. Okay, hi, and welcome to the show.
Yeah.
What a good time it is to do the show at the time that we do it, because we will be able to hear T.O. in a couple of seconds stand up and tell us what I believe he'll be telling the truth, that...
He's going to deny?
I don't think that T.O. Terrell Owens is a guy who would off himself.
Well, he's out of the hospital awfully soon, if that was the case. I mean, if he took the painkillers that he took in the quantity that it was alleged,
35.
It would seem to me that now is that disputed? Because the last I got it, everything was up in the air. Everything was alleged. You know, they saw him leaving the hospital in an SUV and waving to the media.
The police report says that he had 35 pills.
Right.
His publicist, who also made the 911 call,
right,
says no, he only took a couple of extra pills.
Right.
Said that no,
he was hurt.
They did not pump his stomach, but they did, yes, try to induce vomiting. He did not, you know how they did that? The Parcells came in and took his shirt off.
Didn't seem to really work. Then he took his pants off.
This T.O. thing today is one of those things, everybody, whether you're a football fan or not, it catches your attention.
Sure,
and
especially,
around 10 o'clock when they didn't know Dick. When nobody knew anything, when it was just...
Well, that's when they can really go, and that's when they speculate.
Right. T.O. has tried to kill himself. I mean, the phone was ringing off the hook this morning, and I don't mean that in that way that you kids with pants down to your ass crack do. I mean, really, literally, my telephone was ringing, people saying, have you heard, what do you think?
People were giving you a little lowdown on it.
What do you think? I even had somebody call and say, do you think I should drop him from my fantasy team?
Well, Joe had.
Yeah, Joe.
Did Joe have him?
Yeah, Joe was not the person that asked me that, but Joe.
Well,
was
when I left the story, I guess a little around 11:30, 12 o'clock today, they were all saying that he had left the hospital. He was waving at the media. Now he's going to have a press conference to say that he didn't try to commit suicide. Is that what they anticipate?
Yes, and good news for all of us, Mike. Deion Sanders is there. So Deion
comforting him.
Deion Sanders will be there, and
good.
Give him 35 pills.
And I like the fact
Well, let's get the trifecta. Is Michael Irvin going to be down also?
I was just going to mention, I like the fact that before I left the house today on ESPN,
right,
they had Michael Irvin, I guess, down in Miami where he lives, where pretty much there's no reason for the press conference. This is what I've figured out, because Michael Irvin says, I just got off the telephone with him before you put me on TV. So then the guy on ESPN says, did you ask him if he killed him, if he tried to kill himself? He said, yes, I asked him. He said, no. He said, beyond everything else, the guy's honest. He said,
well, it comes down to the numbers. If he took 35, he was trying to kill himself. If he took two more than his normal prescription, right, he was trying to, like, you know, get more of a painkiller.
Now, here are...
Right? I mean, it's pretty logical.
Here are the both sides as I see it.
Uh-huh.
Either he did try to kill himself, and he's going to come out today and say that... Actually, there's three. Either he did, and he'll come out and he say, I tried to off myself.
Got emotional problems.
Right. Or the story is true, that he had some interaction with some type of... he takes protein shakes or something
right,
like that.
Some steroids.
Some concoction of human growth hormone or something.
Right.
Well, whatever it is he takes. He had a reaction to that with the pills, which made him sick. Or there is the possibility that he did try to off himself, and being as it's his PR agent who made the 911 call and then came out today and said he did not try to kill himself, thinking as people in that position do, it's entirely possible that she could have flipped out and said, oh, my God, he offed himself. I got to call 911. Then she figures out he's alive. Then you got a game plan, and you got to get together and say,
right,
how do we make it appear that you didn't try to kill yourself?
The only evidence that I'm aware of that I heard on the news was that apparently they asked him, did you try to do yourself harm?
The police.
And the police said, and he said yes.
And the answer to that they're throwing out is that he was disoriented because his protein shake or whatever supplement it is that he took interacted with the pills, which made him all goofy.
Here's a question I would have. I would have this question. Can you determine that, you know, once they've been in your tummy, how many, you know, how much was in there?
Yes.
And I think that is, and did they pump his stomach? Or did they get anything out of his stomach?
No, I don't think so.
Because if they didn't, they don't have any results. Well, they did a blood test, right?
And then I had a guy, call me up and say, do you think that there's a chance, not that he planned on this, but now this is like his ultimate publicity move because, Jesus Christ, everybody in America is talking about this guy right now. He's gone from
He's a bad guy, that's why.
Right, he's gone from being a jerk face to being somebody who you momentarily at least feel sympathy for, you feel empathy for. I mean, if the guy's so effed up that he tried to kill himself.
Oh, sure you do.
And if he didn't try to kill himself, he's going to come off today as a rather stoic figure, and I think he says, you know, these things are blown out of proportion, you don't know me, and furthermore, watch me go out and play this weekend against Tennessee.
There's another theory I think that we can throw in here, and that might very well be the party theory. If he was mixing, you know, some recreational activities with the pain killers, because I would think Sunday night, Monday night would be their big night to party as far as NFL players are concerned. But they might rock and roll on.
Here's another report that I heard that it was attributed to Associated Press. You know, but these things change all the time.
Right.
That his girlfriend in California broke up with him last night on the telephone.
There you go.
And that he took the 35 pills. Now, his publicist says, why would he try to kill himself in front of me and his pastor? We were both at his house.
Why was his pastor at his house?
Yeah.
This story gets more and more curious.
Yeah.
My investigative journalist in me just starts to really get...
Yeah.
He was there with a pastor, a man of the cloth. That would be, I would think, because he was being counseled in some way.
Uh-huh. Now, if he did fake the suicide and he comes out and he says...
I don't think he faked it.
Well, if the pastor is there...
Fake it.
Okay, but... Is it possible, he's coming off, 2.5, 3 years of rotten press straight. Is this some desperate plea to make him better?
I know, and this is not the man that called me with this theory, but another guy who I know did call me.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I mean, his character is almost beyond repair now.
So he's doing this to gain sympathy?
Maybe.
Not a chance.
No. I had a guy call me up today and say, this is his best PR move ever.
It's certainly his last ditch. He can't go beyond it.
It's not a politician. It's not a guy that really has to worry about that. I don't think it's a guy that his image as a bad guy hurts him.
Everyone wants to be loved.
But I don't think it's that important to him.
Women want to be with him. Mm-hmm. Men want to be him.
This is great, though. These are more conspiracy theories than than some of the major assassinations in our American
so
history.
So let me see. What time is the? Let's go back to the internet center.
What's the word? What's the word?
Those are right next to each other. Sorry, my big ham fingers. Johnny.
Hi there.
What's the ETA on this thing with Terrell Owens?
I've got the ESPN for broadband up, and it says it starts at 3:30.
3:30.
So they've moved it back now. They moved it back another 15.
Any surprise? I know you're a big NFL fan, but I'm asking you to detach yourself from that now.
Yeah.
Any surprise at the amount of press this is generating?
No. You know why? Well, it's the JonBenet world that we live in.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the JonBenet world. I mean, it's
everybody's got an opinion on this guy, unless you live, you know, underground.
And it's the headline that you never get.
Right.
I mean. Like Roethlisberger and his motorcycle, or a guy being popped for dope, or a guy doing a DUI.
Yeah, the DUIs don't get that much play.
We are all now so used to that. That's nothing. A guy beating up on his wife.
An elite athlete trying to commit suicide is a major story. And I think it would probably be a major story no matter what.
And
the fact that it's T.O. who's gotten so much press.
They had just psychologist after psychologist today on TV saying, if you look at his background, he never had a father figure around.
Oh, they start already.
He found out that his biological father was living across the street from him for 11 years.
Sal, is it Palantonio? Is that the reporter?
Yeah.
He was the only, when I was watching it, he was the only voice of reason who was really saying we really shouldn't, you know, jump to these conclusions. And the anchor guy, who is...
Trey Wingo, Mike.
Trey Wingo.
Does he piss me off,
Trey
too?
Wingo got mad at Sal Palantonio because Trey Wingo wanted a... You know, it was his moment. He was anchoring, and he wanted to make it a big deal.
I heard the same thing on ESPN. And this is how desperate they are on ESPN. And also, really how riveting is that someone like Mike and me, regular guys, would watch TV... To watch a guy on TV talk to a guy on the telephone.
Right.
Where all you see is the picture of the guy on the telephone.
Kind of adds drama to it when you don't see any video.
So I saw the thing with Sal Palantonio.
Right.
And then right before I left the house, I saw a guy who's on PTI all the time. I like Dan Lebatard.
Okay.
He's there when Kornheiser's not there. So Trey Wingo.
He cemented his reputation as an asshat.
I think that I've demonstrated over the years my dislike of Trey Wingo.
Right. Trey's a little high strung.
And it's not just the name, it's just, you know, he's...
Here's some speculation.
I'm Trey Wingo.
I speculate that Trey's going to eat 35 pills after he gets off the air this afternoon.
I'm bigger than the story, Trey Wingo.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got Dan Lebatard on. And at this point they thought T.O. was going to speak at 1:30.
That's Tom Gavin's favorite reporter, too.
Lebatard.
He's mentally retarded.
So they got 15 minutes to fill, and they say, well, Dan Lebatard does a weekly radio show with Terrell Owens. Let's ask his opinion.
Huh.
And the first thing this guy said to Trey Wingo, he's on the phone, he said, I don't know him. I do a radio show with him.
Right.
He started pretty much doing the same lecture. He said to him, I think it's ridiculous that we just have people on pontificating with their opinions. He said, I don't know him. You have me on because I do a radio show with him. I'm in Miami,
right,
and he's in Dallas. I'm in one room, he's in another room. I really don't know him. And in essence, what he says to him is the same thing that Sal Palantonio did, which is...
So why are we, already, we really have sketchy police reports coming in. Why are we blowing this up more than it should be blown up?
And what's great is that ESPN feels that they need to cover it as a news story, so they go to their guys in the field, and their guys in the field, because they're not real news journalists, they're not real... suave, they don't know how to spin it.
Right.
They just spin it out like it is. So they got a guy on ESPN who says, let's go to our expert right now. And the expert says, basically, we don't know anything. Why am I even on this show?
I like the fact that in the sports reporting community, almost more than the mainstream news media, you got guys that were ready to say, hey, you know, slow down a little bit. This is getting a... But we're never going to learn. You know, we learned a little bit, and this is right on the heels of the guy that was brought in from Thailand that they said, you know, was the murderer, that confessed to the murder of JonBenet when they jumped the gun on that one, too. So that's the only reason I think people are trying to be a little more careful here. You let some time pass. We'll jump right back to conclusions.
And I don't know what it is with the fine men and women of law enforcement in America. When they became so handcuffed that they were afraid...
With the police speak?
Yeah, that they're afraid to say anything.
Right. Are you talking about the guy down in Dallas?
Yeah, the Dallas information officer.
Oh, he was horrible.
But I feel for the guy because they send him out and they say, you got to go see the press, but here's what you have to say. There's nothing I can say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to answer no questions.
Right.
I have nothing to say. And so they start asking him questions. And
they're peppering him with questions.
Poor guy says, I'm not going to answer any questions.
Right.
With Parcells,
that's right.
20 minutes of I don't know, but at least he stayed calm.
Parcells.
Because I was expecting him.
Well, my question is, will this get them up for the big game this weekend? You know, they are a division rival
against Tennessee.
Yeah, against the Titans,
the Tennessee Titans. They're not a division rival of the Tennessee Titans.
No, division rival of the Washington Redskins. I was speaking in. That was Redskins speak when I say they're a division rival.
Oh, you were speaking as a Redskins fan.
I was really, for one of those rare times, speaking as a, well, or perhaps speaking from my you know, country of origin, Connecticut, as a New York Giants fan.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, what's happening?
Well, not much. I just wanted your thoughts. If, in fact, he really did try to off himself, as they're saying,
Yeah. Wouldn't
he be under some sort of...
You wouldn't think he'd be driving out in a nice SUV waving at everybody,
right,
with Deion Sanders.
Exactly. You'd think they'd have him under some sort of surveillance if he's a danger to himself.
And I think if this is going to be the little competition we have here, T.O. versus the wild media on this particular count, I think I'm going to go with T.O.
He's going to win. First off, where's Rosenhaus in all of this? I mean, Drew Rosenhaus should be there. And for goodness sakes, we have one of our black athletes who's having a problem. Where's Jesse Jackson?
Come on, Jesse, get down there to Dallas.
Yanni, are we up yet? We got it yet?
No.
Not yet. Okay. Oh, 3:30, right.
3:30.
Okay, sorry about that. Hello, Don and Mike show. Nick, hey. Nick.
Hello, Nick. I hear silence.
There you go. Nick the Dick.
That was our expert. Hello. We lost our connection.
Don and Mike show. Howdy.
Yes, it's you, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Fantastic. First of all, I love your show. I've been listening for about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah, you've exasperated one of the hosts.
That's really great. Didn't
and I'm going to miss
did
you.
Did we ask for your bio? Is this career.com?
what can we do for you?
I'm remiss.
Trusted listener and friend who wants to continue talking while I'm talking no matter what. No matter what circumstances. Yes, what were you saying?
I was just trying to mention that.
Yeah, like I was saying, Mike, when guys like this call the show.
I know.
Okay.
What friend?
Yes.
It's you. You're on the air.
Okay, great. I'm just mentioning that Terrell Owens is totally using this as the PR ploy that you mentioned.
You said, I'm just mentioning. That just sounds weird to me.
Okay.
I don't think it's necessarily a grammatical error, but it's just sounds inappropriate.
I'm tossing it out there.
I'm just mentioning.
As if we're conversating.
Conversating.
That's what he's doing.
All right.
Now, what is your interpreting thing?
Terrell Owens is using this simply for press.
Tell me something. After this phone call, do you plan on killing yourself?
I might have a press conference about it.
If you do, please write our names in blood on the wall.
Take 36. Take 36 pills.
Go all the way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know what that's like? It's like beating the crap out of some guy. And then he's down there and he's feeling where his face is. He looks like he goes, thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, instead of T.O., maybe now they should call him just straight Todd. T-O-O-D.
That would be Tood. I'm so lost right now, I don't even know what.
Terrell Owens, T-O,
overdose.
So that's Todd.
No, that's Tood, Tool.
T-O, hold on. If T-O...
Buzz is right,
I'm
it would
sorry.
Be... It'd be
a little poetic license, I'm sorry.
No, not for you. Revoked.
Buzz!
Buzz, wow.
License revoked. Buzz is
hey,
the...
Hey, that's what me and the boys is think, so I just throw
it.
The boys is...
Buzz is the enforcer.
That's right. Revoked.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, I think you're the man can speak for Terrell if he's suicidal or not, because
A lot of people were speculating that you were suicidal, you know. And another thing, Jesse Jackson doesn't speak.
Hold on. Yes.
Which Jesse, one of us is he talking about?
First, Jesse Jackson does speak for all black people.
And no, he doesn't.
Second, yes, he does.
Hitler speaks for all white people.
Yes, he does. Now you're correct on both counts. Now, who was suicidal?
Which one of us was the one you were accusing of being suicidal?
Rumors were that you were suicidal at one time.
Who's you? Are you speaking to Don or Mike? Why was I suicidal?
Just everything that you were going through in your life.
Oh, with Frida? I never heard that reported anywhere.
That was me, Don. I was perpetuating that rumor, for just trying to keep the ship going while you were away. I was reasonably sure you had reassured me you were coming back, and I was just trying to gain some of that rating.
Even if there had been a wild rumor that I contemplated ending my life after Frida died, I didn't have a bottle of 35 pills and have anybody dial 911 for me.
Well, all that's allegedly. Like, you were taking sleeping pills and drinking. You know, if you would have took over...
I still take sleeping pills and drink.
That's every day.
We're not suicidal.
It's all about degree.
I'm not
suicidal.
I'm not suicidal.
No, I know.
I'm only suicidal between 3 and 7 East Coast time. Really. It's people like you that make me want to eat 35 pills.
No, Don, I'm just saying that people have that tendency to boost things up and no way did I believe Terrell or yourself was suicidal.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, Terrell's coming out with it. Nobody knows yet whether he did or what happened, and I think that, you know, right now the pendulum is swinging back because everybody is speculating now that he didn't try to commit suicide, and I'm right in the middle still. I'd like to know what's going on.
Dude, I would agree with you. One of the first things I said is I don't think it's in his makeup to kill himself.
I don't
believe it, but on the other hand, you have a police report that says he ate 35 pills.
Well, that's speculation.
Hold on. Until they come out and say that it's not true, that's in a police report.
And I would say, I disagree with Don, sir. I would say that it really was in his makeup to be that kind of guy because he's had so many different issues that he might really have some problems mentally.
Mike, we all have issues in our lives.
I know, but I'm just saying it's plausible. I'm not going to discount that. I mean, who knows what he's going through?
Just because it's in the report doesn't mean it's in the police report.
I got news for you. Why are you so you seem to have a vested interest in one side. I don't have any interest either way. I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether he did or he didn't. It really doesn't matter to me.
Oh, come on. I'll speak for everybody.
Uh-huh.
There was a part of me. I was hoping it was true.
Don.
I mean, just like when you watch NASCAR, let's be honest. Why do you watch? You don't watch to make them make left turns. You watch for the awful thing to happen. No one wants to say this.
Right.
No one wants to say this, but when you hear something like this, you would like... I mean... Not
the Don. No, you're telling the truth.
Don.
You're telling the truth.
When you get that call and somebody says to you, "Oh my God, turn on ESPN right now. T.O. tried to kill himself."
Don.
The first thing that you think is,
"One word before you hang up on me, Don."
No, I don't think he's going to hang up because I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Can I ask Don?
Let me just ask you one first. I asked it before. You seem to be kind of interested. You know, one way you seem to want it to be something. You want it to be true that he didn't try to commit suicide, and I want to ask you why.
Well, suicide, in my belief, is a bad thing.
I agree.
Okay, now...
Yeah, that didn't tell me anything just then.
Okay, but I'm saying that, you know, it's a bad thing to publicize something like that if it's
all right,
not
so
true.
You don't want to see him get the
bad
PR.
Listen, I guarantee it, if he did not try to kill himself, he'll have a press conference today, and if he's got every goddamn camera in the world in front of him, the world will know.
Mark,
you're talking about 5 hours of speculation.
Yeah, right now it is bad PR for him, I would think. Well, maybe not, though. If you follow any publicity is good publicity.
Don, Mike, you don't pull over all publicity, right?
My friend, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately,
Don,
I must get online and order a number 81 jersey just in case it's true before the price goes up.
Hey, Don.
What?
I respect your opinion, man.
I wish I could say the same.
Thank you.
Hey, what about my opinion?
Well,
hey!
And when you were suicidal, you only took one pill, but had 35 drinks.
Hello, Don and Mike.
With it.
Hello.
I'm so sleepy.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, while the police report might be a matter of public record, anything that's going to confirm that's going to be in the hospital, and that's all confidential.
Rob was just mocking you visually, sir. I don't mean to laugh, but he was doing the... Little marching man.
This is no different. What we're doing right now is no different than all the people on TV bringing other people who really don't know anything.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah, I want to get back to what you said, though, because it is very true. And I think a lot of people, we love to tear down our people.
Heroes.
And especially if he's kind of a bad guy, like Terrell Owens was. I think when I saw it, everybody kind of like, maybe there's a little smile where you go, whoa.
Yeah.
Man, that bad guy.
Who didn't think for a second?
Pretty cool news.
Well, because he's been such a hump in the past.
Yeah.
It's horrible to say. I don't want to really see the guy die, but it was just interesting because he's gotten all that bad publicity. That makes it more curious than it was before.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
The Dallas police inspector said that it was not a criminal charge being involved, and committing suicide is a criminal charge.
My friend, I watched enough TV today to tell you that the law in Texas, and as we know, things in Texas are quite often bass-ackwards, the law in Texas is if you try to commit suicide and you are unsuccessful, you are not charged with a crime.
I thought it was the death penalty.
Fair enough.
All right, thank you.
So does that mean that if you are successful, you are charged with a crime?
Yes, kind of what I was thinking.
You can go to jail for killing yourself.
Oh, man, that's a nasty-looking cell.
Hey, Johnny, I'm supposed to be coming up to this CO thing.
I got 3:29 on my clock, and it still hasn't come up yet.
All right. Thanks for trying not to breathe into the pool. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, is suicide a breach of crime or a breach of the contract for the NFL?
Good question.
It is a good
breach of contract.
I tell you what,
no way they have anything in there.
If it's a breach of contract, you and I should go eat a bottle of pills tonight.
Wouldn't that be great?
And just get our stomach pumped right away.
Be fantastic. Breach. You just throw up. We're sitting there in the hospital. You know, vomit down our hospital gowns, looking at each other, winking.
Yeah,
we got him.
We did it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh, the breach.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, of course.
If he broke his finger like the second or third play of that game, and he proceeded to play the entire game, I find it hard to believe that he's got to take painkillers now when he played the whole game trying to catch balls with a broken finger.
Oh my God, you don't know a lot about the NFL,
dude. He had a plate inserted in his hand with big ass nails going in there. I mean, screws going in there.
Watch some of these documentaries, like Jerome Bettis. What's it like for that guy to get out of bed in the morning?
Okay, hold on. Is he on TV right now? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, Don and Mike?
Hey.
It's Chris.
Hey, hi, Chris.
I was just having lunch here in Sacramento, and I saw on the ESPN News that T.O. has a news conference at 12:30 Sacramento time.
Right, okay. Chris, thanks very much, Mr. Dumas. It's been postponed from 1 o'clock to 1:15 to 1:30 to 2:15 to 2:30 to 3:15 now to 3:30 East Coast time. We are on it, and you've got both Mike and Rob doing the Sacramento dance right now.
The dance not
hey,
postponed.
I'm sure on ESPN.
No, I'm just trying. Hey, bro.
We had the story that it was a 3:30 press conference Eastern time, bro.
Understand that.
Listen to the whole show.
Let's check in back at the net. At the Net Center.
Got that, bro.
Is he on yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right. No yet. Is that his answer? No yet.
That's him that time. I didn't say anything.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hello.
Hello, Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Howdy.
Hey, I think I have a theory why Terrell Owens tried to commit suicide.
Oh, I'm dying to hear this one.
I think he listened to your show yesterday about the Dateline, about wasn't one of his name in the top names that wouldn't be called by the resume?
It was.
You know.
I think he gets credit.
No, you have to give him a little credit.
No, I'm with him.
No.
I'm with him.
Shut up.
No. It was totally show related.
No.
You're a goddamn genius.
It was our show. It was related to our show. It means that he formulated his theory based on information he got here.
If it was only me, I'd throw you to the Tigers right now. Mike has saved your life. Hello, Donna Mike.
You know what the end result of committing suicide successfully in Texas is.
Now this is another joke. Please, let's not turn this in to a laughing matter. The last thing we want to do on this show is laugh.
That's right.
And I think we've... Hold on.
else in the world.
Hold on a second.
Did he try to squeeze it in there?
No.
If you do have a joke, you should just be upfront with it.
I do have a joke, and I forgot about the rule, and I'm my mother's a whore, and I was stupid for even trying.
Oh, right. See, he's so remorseful.
There you go. Why don't you lay it on us?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it too much fun?
That made me laugh.
They drove away.
Too much fun. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
About going to jail and all that stuff for killing yourself, getting charged with a crime, I know. I killed myself back in 99. I'm still serving hard time, so.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
That wasn't funny.
Taking the joke.
I don't know why I'm laughing at him.
One extra step.
There's some goofballs out there. They're a little late to the party, but they're fun.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
Now, see, what I want to know is if he kicks it, do they take his signing bonus away? How do they play that one?
Old Yellow Tea, the big had like $25 million bucks back.
Ooh, so yeah. I saw. I guess it was a rebroadcast of. Is it Costas Now? Is that the show on HBO where they?
With Yellow Tea.
And Yellow Tea was being asked about the CEO whether it was a good move.
It's like an investment.
Yeah, it was just funny, and it was. I was going between that and watching the live coverage of TO.
Now, for goodness sakes, I'm tired of waiting on this man. Yanni,
still nothing.
Nothing. Well, maybe he's not stable enough to have the news conference.
Well, no, at first it was going to be in front of his house. Then it was going to be at the Cowboys' place.
Right.
Maybe now he's waiting for 5 o'clock for prime time.
Could be. He's waiting for Chris Berman to get out of the bathroom.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow, then.
I'm not changing the microphone, Don. I'm just finished right here. We need another roll.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Mother Berman. Don, Mike, how you doing?
Howdy.
Hey, I thought that African-American people don't swim and they don't try to kill themselves.
Is that a stereotype we're unaware of? I thought we knew every single one of them.
Well, there's a new one.
No, hey, hold on.
Rob would know.
No,
ask Rob.
Rob, is that a given stereotype?
The swimming stereotype, is that a legitimate stereotype?
The swimming one is legitimate.
Legitimate, but the killing themselves?
It's not in any of my handbooks.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Not true.
You don't have the muster.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. John.
Checks be whacking.
Johnny says we're on. Here we go. Here we go. The TL.
I want to thank God for me being here. I want to apologize to the organization for this being a distraction. This is definitely an unfortunate.
Think they got enough cameras there?
I'm just trying to be here just to clarify any of the news that's out there as far as me, having suicide attempts.
What's the truth?
There was no suicide attempt. I think I went home yesterday. After I left the facility, and I took a couple pain pills, and then I had some treatment. I had a physician over treating my hand, and I think after that, I was just kind of groggy a little bit, and I kind of took some extra pills with my supplements. And the 911,
how many extra pills?
With Kim,
he's not answering my questions.
I had separated, and the bottle was on the table, and it was empty. The rest of the pills were in a drawer, and so I think she felt like that I had taken all the pills, and like I was non-responsive.
He's sitting right at
wow. If this is true, great job, publicist.
Her judgment,
he's laying it on the publicist.
I was just watching the feed that he's sitting in front of all the Dr. Pepper signs.
Did you hear that? He had one pill that was empty, and the other one was in a drawer. So she saw the empty pill box and thought he took them all. Took a hole.
That I got my stomach pumped. That's definitely untrue.
Why did you say yes when police asked you if you were trying to harm yourself?
At this point, I really wasn't as coherent as they probably thought I was. There was a number of people asking me a lot of questions, so I really don't even really remember the police officers that was in there, more or less the doctors that were in there.
What was your condition? Describe your condition at the time that when Kim would call 911. What condition were you in?
I didn't hear that. I mean, she made the call, so I mean, she's here. She can probably better answer that question for you than I can.
Bring her up.
Yeah, bring her up.
Right. Do you remember anything after that? What happened, or were you?
Hey, whatever those pills are, get me some of them. If you take two and you trip like that,
come over to kind of treat my hand. And I was on. I have a training table, and I was on that, and I don't even remember her leaving. And she came over around like 5 or so, and like that, I don't know how long I was still asleep on the table after she had gone.
You obviously don't remember talking to me.
very vague.
Carol, you said you took extra pills. You remember how many?
I said it was with my supplements, and I have a couple bottles where I have like two a day, six a day. You know, I take those during the course of the day. So, anywhere from maybe two to three. So.
Carol, do you think you could play on Sunday?
Excuse me?
Do you think you could play on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I just finished working out outside.
What did I tell you?
And then,
play on Sunday. Sell more jerseys.
It's clear. It's pretty clear to me. I mean, it's obvious.
I mean, look at it.
Dumbass publicist.
Look at him. He looks healthy. He looks
fine.
He looks like he always looks. He doesn't look like a guy. You know, you can tell a lot by looking at a guy. I mean, he's got a big smile on his face. He doesn't look like a guy who's trying to cover up the fact that he just lost himself or tried to.
I want to see the publicist.
She likes to make, but we got to get him.
How much you want to bet she's a piece of ass?
You categorically deny that you're depressed. No, I'm not depressed.
What's that, Buzz?
I'm very happy to be here.
Buzz wanted his microphone on.
You know, my thing is,
I accidentally had it turned off.
You know, get on the roll, get on the track.
Is it on now, Buzz? I believe it is, yes.
What's your take, Bob?
I think this was a misunderstanding. I think the wrong thing was reported.
John, did you turn off the feed?
Say it,
thank you.
And like I said, at this point,
please don't turn off the feed of Joseph Buzz is speaking.
You know, so, I mean, I can barely even remember.
What respect they show you. Oh, Mike and I have been speaking all over this thing.
Now they're having trouble with their satellite feed.
It's
freezing.
But we still have the audio coming up.
I'm really not sure.
What did you take?
I had hydrocodone, you know, for.
Oh, Mike had it.
What is that, Buzz?
Vicodin.
Thank you, Buzz.
You're right.
Once again, why do we lose the feed when Buzz speaks?
Buffering!
That's what it is. It's just a coincidence.
And there were a number of supplements. The list is too long for me to kind of like tell you exactly everything that I take, but all in the natural supplements. So, it was just an allergic reaction. I think.
Are they getting rid of them now? They're taking them out of there? Are they bringing the publicist on?
He's just
there she is!
Hey, Az.
Now, she looks like she's OD'd.
Yes, I would lose that bet. She looks kind of hagged out.
She looks totally hagged out.
Thank you.
Now, Tio is walking out.
She made the call.
Carol's publicist.
Looks like she hasn't slept for about a year. She got the ass eyes.
Yep. She's had a long, long morning.
You know, that's a good call, Rob. Diana Ross about 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, she is a Whitney in training.
Reports on the police report at once.
No, it's not.
You know, it's buffering. Now. All of our TV screens. All of our,
we're getting all this over the internet.
Stated that he was trying to take his life.
This other invention called cable. We might want
to
get.
He was trying to do harm to himself, and Carol was not coherent to speak. I mean, when the reason I called 911 is because he was not in his normal responsive state. He had a long day. He came home, had some treatment, and again, he takes many supplements. He's trying to get back on the field. And he's taking a couple extra supplements than he normally does, and he has some pain medication, and actually he was in a lot of pain when he came home from work.
The report says that you said that he was depressed. That's what you told the police.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. They said I said Carol was depressed.
Did you not say that?
I did not say that.
Now you realize that these police officers are sworn. This is a sworn statement.
Well, you know what? And I'm sitting here in front of you letting you know that I did not say Carol was depressed. Carol did not say he was depressed. There's a lot going on. Just like, you know, the 911 call. Listen, when I see a man of his stature, not responsive, he's a very strong human being. And when I ask him a question, he's
a man of his stature, Mike.
Feeling well. You know, I use my judgment to call 911. It's not Carol.
Jim, are you upset at the report?
I can't wait to go back to the...
than you or Carol about
the... Stature of Liberty.
I just feel they take advantage of...
Okay, I think we've heard enough.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, you heard it.
She's getting grilled pretty good right now.
You heard it. I got to believe T.O. looking at him on TV and everything.
I don't believe he tried to commit suicide, but I believe whatever he did take got him pretty well whacked out. Because if she wasn't able to communicate with him and called 911, but who knows what she did.
Mike, let's go to show pharmacist Dr. Bob Elston.
Yeah.
Dr. Bob, tell me, you immediately identified the pill of choice as Vicodin.
Hydrocodone, yeah, Vicodin, right.
If he was to take three of those,
It's no big deal.
Given that everybody's DNA is different, though,
right.
What kind of supplement, off the top of your head, Dr. Bob, would react with that to make him even more wild and spaced out than you normally would be?
Honestly, I've studied supplements quite extensively, and I can't think of any. If anything, the supplements would tend to prop you up as opposed to compound the sleepiness from the Vicodin.
What if the supplement was five more Vicodin?
That's not, perhaps not good.
And that's really not, did he mention the specific number of pills that he took, or that he didn't remember?
No.
If you listen to what he said was, I believe it was something like, all the pills were together, and I normally take 4 or 6 or 8 of my supplement pills.
Right.
I had some of the other ones sitting around.
So he took enough Vicodin to get pretty whacked
out. It's easy to get confused, and when you've got that many bottles of supplements that you're taking, it's easy to forget, now, what bottle did I leave off on?
But I am, Mr. Geronimo, are you convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that he did not attempt to commit suicide?
Yes.
I too, am convinced, based on that press conference.
Rob?
I agree, but you know what else? I don't blame the publicist for calling 911.
No, and not if he was if he was incoherent, he couldn't answer questions, and she saw an empty pill bottle. I was on her ass a minute ago, but I've changed. That's the way these things work. You know, you condemn, and then you forgive.
Even before T.O.'s news conference, the police were disavowing their earlier comment about him being depressed. They said that was not an official statement. We don't know who's responsible for that. We, the police, did not say that. We, the police, say nothing of the kind.
We have another expert who often consults the Don and Mike show on the matters of narcotics.
Dr. Ardinger.
Dr. Joseph Ardinger has made his way into the studio.
Yes, doctor.
He's a sissy. I remember when wide receivers used to cut their fingers off when they got broken. Get on the field and make the Westies win. God damn it.
That was a defensive back.
That's a fantasy football.
Six pills
that was a defensive back.
It was Ronnie Lott that cut his finger off.
Six pills is nothing.
Get out of here, Joe. Get out of here.
A disgruntled owner.
Your goddamn beaver cleaver haircut.
Joe Allen.
All right, so much ado about nothing.
Apparently.
Much ado about it. Oh, I feel like it's 5 hours I'll never get back.
Wow.
Oh, it's fun.
You sure made a big deal about it.
That's like watching a movie, and, you know, it's like watching Titanic, except at the end.
It doesn't sink.
The ship floats.
Well, he's fine.
God, what a letdown.
He looks good.
What a letdown.
He looks A-okay.
What?
Who will be the next player?
Who was the last one?
That's a good question.
Mark Brunell.
There's no way we beat the Texans and we're going to go on to win all our other games.
He wouldn't because he's a Jesus freak. He's one of those guys that leads like the Bible study. Who else might? Who else in the NFL is certified nuts crazy? Well, anybody on the Cincinnati Bengals, but they're just thugs. family, our American dad?
American dad,
Jack Del Rio?
You're obsessed with Jack Del Rio.
He's got the crazy eyes.
He does have the crazy eyes.
Jack Del Rio is one of those guys, you look at him and you know he sleeps in his office.
Right.
He's one of those coaches. He's standing up in his locker. Hello, Don and Mike Show. He just opened the locker and is like, good morning.
I'm already here.
I'm standing up now.
Start drills. Hello, you're on the air. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
Oh, there you go. You're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, being a Philly fan and also a...
You say a silly fan or a Philly fan?
Philly fan.
Yeah, sorry, I'm a fan.
That would be Philly fan.
Philly fan.
That would be Philly Eagles.
Gotcha.
Fly, Eagles, fly, on the road to victory.
All right, as an Eagles fan...
Yes, I can't say that I'm overwhelmingly upset that Terrell Owens is apparently, even if it's... You know, false alarm that he's on the way to self-destruction. I think that we've all wished well on Dallas.
Well, the Philly fans hate T.O.
I saw something today where they're having a serious discussion on the Today Show when the story broke.
Right.
And they said, you know, if everything turns out that he's okay, or if he's not okay, how do you think the Philadelphia fans would receive him in 2 weeks, if he's on the sidelines and he had tried to commit suicide?
It doesn't matter.
Do you think that they would have any empathy for
him? It doesn't matter. The Philly fans are already getting their posters ready.
And the answer was no. You know, and Fox is going to have a great time covering that game.
Right.
Because there's going to be no way that they can get rid of all the signs that say, why don't you just kill yourself?
Oh, they're going to have nooses up there. You know, they're going to have everything. They're going to have razor blades, everything. They're going to do it all.
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey,
I was just calling in regards to T.O. This guy's such a big frickin' attention whore. I hate to be, you know, cold-hearted and all, but give me a break. This is staged.
Okay, thank you, genius.
There you go.
We'll end right there.
Don, the theories abound on the Terrell Owens situation.
They do. Oh, and listen now, let's see, what did we not get to today? Oh, God, I got some stuff from home that I know you just can't wait to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I've got some fantasy football stuff that we did not get to. We'll
yeah.
do that. We've got LBVD coming in, right?
Yeah.
Coming in next break?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then, as we go to break, we had a very interesting chat with the general manager yesterday.
Really?
And right now, I guarantee his underpants are touching his tonsils.
Oh, my.
Because he thinks we're going to talk about something, but we're not going to talk about something. We're going to talk about something else.
Exactly.
Yesterday, we had a wonderful dialogue with Michael Hughes, and it reminded me so much of a dialogue we had had 15 years ago with the old general manager. Well, let me pop this antiquated cartridge in and listen to something from 15 years ago. Let's listen.
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar is now available through audio tape.
No, I don't know what to say.
Successful radio management doesn't happen by accident. It happens with solid training.
I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement. No.
With Ken's tapes, you'll develop skills in crisis management.
Because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Enhanced memory skills.
I don't remember, but that is certainly possible.
And the all-important art of decision-making.
Can I think about it?
The Ken Stevens Management Seminar. Get yours today.
Is it Monday?
And start managing.
15 years later.
Wow.
Four general managers later.
They haven't changed a bit.
From yesterday's show. Yesterday's show.
When you're ready to market, you only need to know one name.
Michael Hughes.
At the Michael Todd Hughes School of Marketing, you'll learn everything you need to know about...
Hey, Cass, how about
one... Any music?
How about one with music on it? Thought we had the music on this one. Guys? Yes.
Norman!
Yes, Johnny.
I'm an ass.
All right, well, there you go. You certainly are. You're a big, gigantic, hairy one. You're a big, smelly one. So you put that whole thing together with no music on it? Oh, there.
No, I got it. I'll burn you a quick one during a break.
I'll burn you a quick one during the break. Jesus Christ. Remember, Cheney is only as strong as its weakest link.
A Cheney.
Good news for you, Rob.
Yes?
You're number two on my S list now.
Atta boy, good job, John.
Way to go.
All right, well, you'll hear something...
No, yet.
Very, very funny when we come back.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's much better with music.
And we'll have LBVD and all this other stuff, so stay there.
Don and Mike to break.
And, of course, our breaking news... Yeah. He's alive.
Thank God.
He's alive. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive.
He lives. T.O.
He's alive.
Don't do it, T.O.
No. Let down.
And we'll come back with that thing with music?
Yeah. Let down. Let down. Let down. Let down.
You were hoping it was true.
Of course I was. Everybody was.
Yes, I was.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Remember the motto of the show.
Let me. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
Bingo. So, I already gave you the setup with the commercial 15 years ago with the manager. Here now, as fresh as yesterday's show. Seems almost like the same guy.
A miracle.
But it's not.
When you're ready to market, you only need to know one name.
Michael Hughes.
At the Michael Todd Hughes School of Marketing, you'll learn everything you need to know about successful radio marketing. Like how to make a definite game plan.
Well, that's something we probably need to talk with them about.
And how to stick to that game plan.
We had talked about, the usual.
How to tackle issues head on.
that's a good question. I thought this place...
How to expand your area of dominance.
I got enough problems here in D.C.
While never abandoning the Michael Hughes bottom line.
You don't market the show, you know.
Learn forceful networking skills.
You know, I try and get everybody's attention I can. I talk to every general manager who will take my call across the country.
And how to talk in circles.
The only thing I passed along that didn't happen was what I relayed. But, you know, I got to see what they did and didn't run. But
so call Michael Todd Hughes and start marketing today.
There you go.
The Don and Mike Show.
There you go. Would have been great 10 minutes ago with you, sir.
Would have been delightful.
But it worked out all right.
Here's Don and Mike to talk for you.
Michael Todd Hughes.
Boy, it's just like a 15 years ago flashback. Just like it happened yesterday.
Same thing. Different suit, same lizard.
Same pattern.
Same pattern.
But I hope that Al BVD is ready to come in and talk some trash. Now,
about radio management, because radio management is fun to talk trash about.
It's entirely possible that he received a big cash payout from his last employer. Uh-huh. Should mention, before we bring him in, Al BVD, his name is Al BD.
We've always called him that affectionately.
Yeah, Al BVD. I've known him even DM, even before Mike, and Al BVD. It seems that every time we would get a job, Al BD would get a job, quite often in a time slot against us.
Right.
A guy that we never fought with.
Right. You know, one of the cool guys, one of the guys that understands what it's all about, understands that on this side of the microphone, we are all kind of dealing with the same battles each and every day.
And Al B did a lot of work over at 9 Double Nickel 5, whatever they're calling WPGC these days. And then he went to the Top 40 station, and the way that I understood it, that I read about it in the trade magazines and heard from friends in the industry, was just that one day he showed up for work, and they said, and like the day the ratings came out, or the day before they came out, they had great ratings, they said, guess what, your ass is fired.
Thanks, but no thanks.
We got some new guy that we're bringing in.
How'd it go?
And then the new guy that they brought in, he lasted a month.
Hmm.
And now they've replaced that new guy with another new guy. And Albie never had a chance to tell the people of Washington, at least temporarily, goodbye.
Right. Yes, that's how they react in this business. And it's a cruel, cruel business. And we like to think of ourselves on the lowest rung of the show business ladder.
You know, now sometimes it works out. Now, they did give Ron and Fez, our buddies Ron and Fez, when they were on WJFK, they did give them a goodbye show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Ron and Fez proved that you can do that. Now, you couldn't do that with Mike and I. With Mike and I, you know, it's got to be when it's our last show when we retire.
Right.
That's when they know they can trust us. But I mean...
Yeah, we'd be like, who knocked over the candle?
Yeah, I mean, please.
Yes. So long, everybody. We got to get out of here. Fire trucks are on the way.
But I've had all kinds of good memories with Al BVD, mainly because he's a gym rat about radio like I am.
Right.
I imagine he'd be real good at the stump the stoop game.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine, as I think back over the last 20-plus years, back in my wilder days, there would be times when at a radio convention or at a party,
right. Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, people would be awake. Wide awake at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, it's all the excitement.
And while those...
Yeah, when you see your compatriots.
Right. And I remember very distinctly that while other people would be chatting endlessly about whatever it was that was going on, Al BVD and I would sit in a corner at a desk, and we would talk about radio.
Right.
To the point where we would like start writing down lists.
Because
this is what you do when you're high out of your mind at 4 o'clock in the morning. You start writing down a list and say, okay, if you were going to build the perfect station, what's your top of the hour record?
Right.
Now, meanwhile, you've got guys on the other side of the room who are like going, hey, man, I can see colors with my hand.
And my hand has turned into a mushroom.
And I would be sitting in the corner with Al BD saying, no, 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 no. That is not a top-of-the-hour record.
Right.
You play that record at 03. You play that record at 07.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we would have those type of radio discussion. And not only when we were high, but also when we were straight off.
Yeah.
On the occasions when we would socialize.
So he's a bit of a radiophile also.
We weren't stoned, yeah.
And I just like the guy because I like the tank tops that he used to wear.
And as
with the, you know, the kind of tank tops where it would go down all the way down to his waist.
Right, as much as I think that we get disrespected for the fact that you and I have been kicking ass for over 20 years together.
Right.
We should point out Al BBD has also been a survivor. And more than a survivor in the Washington, D.C. radio market for over 20 years.
Sure he is.
And anyway, I think he got the big screw job from Clear Channel. Again, I don't know if he's going to talk bad about them. God, I hope he does. I think he got a new job promoting records or something.
It's always a good chance to pull back the curtain and find out what's happening.
And if everybody wants to talk to Al BBD, he'll take some calls.
Cool.
From some of his listeners. So, yeah, wheel him in, Rob. For goodness sake.
Here he comes, Al B.
We've built this up now.
Al BBD, you know, the way Rob was waiting at the door, I thought he was
right
just on
by
the other side of that door. There he is!
Yeah. Hey! Al B,
what's up? How you doing? Al B, how are
you? No tank top, no bandana.
Yeah, you look so much more.
You look
so much more conservative
Jesus.
Than you used to.
Yeah. Al B, VD, throw those headphones on.
Throw the cans on, everybody.
And welcome to the magic of talk radio.
Oh, you know. You know, I look at you right away and I realize, just like us, you've gotten older, too, haven't you?
Oh, boy. You really have. Mm. Well, you look grown up.
Yeah.
You know, you do. Because the image I have of you, every time I saw you, with the bandana, freewheeling, got the white beater on.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know.
You had some funky glasses on the last time I saw you.
Probably some Oakleys or something like
that. Yeah, yeah, very, very cool glasses. Right. But now you're just like, you look like you're Mr. Conservative.
Well, I'm a dad now, so.
You're a dad? How old your kid?
I have two children. I got both boys, 11 and 9-year-old.
11 and 9? Those are that's the same age as my daughters.
Yeah,
11 and 9, wonderful ages.
Going on, you know, 25 and 30.
Yes, the 11-year-old's starting to scare me a little bit.
I even remember, because, as I mentioned, I'm friends with Al BBD and also a
Can I say something to your audience?
Sure.
When I first got here in 1987, you guys were doing mornings at another radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to the show, and you guys would destroy other disc jockeys on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the old general manager of the radio station I worked at, Ben Hill, had said to me, "You don't make it in this panel list. Don and Mike talks about you." And then, 6 months into the show, you guys started talking about me. But it was always positive, and I was
right.
Like, oh, that's kind of cool. At least you guys aren't really talking real.
We'd bump into each other occasionally, and it was always kind of pleasant.
Right.
It's always a very pleasant
always.
Deal.
Always had nice times together.
Oof.
We always did.
I was reminiscing that story. We were at my apartment.
Yeah. Perhaps you two had better times than I did with both of you.
Anyway.
We did. We did. I was going to say, I don't know if you heard what I said. You don't get your due for having been on the radio every day in this town for 20 freaking years. And I was wondering how long since the can you at 99.5?
6 weeks, I think.
6 weeks. Still hurt bad?
Am I hurt about it? No. Well,
I mean, you can drop the macho stuff. Really.
I had a feeling,
saw the writing on the wall.
I had a feeling it was coming because the new program director, when he came into town in February, immediately did not talk to me.
Hmm.
And I would go in his office once a week, maybe twice a week, and email, "Hey, man, I'm just trying to help you. I'm your music director and the afternoon guy. I've been here. I'm going to help you out." Communicate. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nothing.
So you get you've been in the business long enough to know what that means.
Oh, I knew. I knew as soon as the new regime took over that my days were going to be numbered because it was being 20 years in the market, and they don't like to pay for real talent.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, that's something that should be mentioned, that in this business, one of the drawbacks of people that have been at it and successful at it for a long time,
mm-hmm.
you know, you build up a track record and you build up a salary.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they come in and they just look at the salary and they say, you know, well, you've been here a long time, let's get somebody fresh and more or less somebody cheap.
Right.
That's the way they do it.
Well, I really have always admired your talent. You got a great ear for picking a hit record.
I tried.
And even back when you were doing the Jammin' Oldies.
Right.
You know, I make no bones about the fact I'm a fan of Al BBD, and I would listen to you from 2 to 3 on my way into work. And I would, when you would sign on, you'd play a tape of your kid.
Uh-huh.
Like saying, "Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Daddy." Right. And I, because I'm the egotist of all time, thought, "Ugh, he has learned from the master." You know? You got a kid.
How much do I owe you for that one, pal?
You got a kid. You put your kid's voice on the air. Did you at any time, because you're really into the music radio part of radio.
Yes.
At any time during the last 20 years, did you ever get so pissed off like Mike and I did with jerk-offs like this last management team and everybody else that you just said, you know, maybe I should go into another type of radio? not necessarily playing the hits.
Do like something like you do?
Yeah.
You mean like a talk kind of show?
Yeah.
I did that like once a month over at PGC when I was doing nights. I did like a 1 hour teen talk show, which, and it was fun. You know, it's kind of cool to do.
Can I try to pick up girls?
No.
I can think of no one worse to talk to teens than Al B.D.
A teen talk show. What's on your mind, sweetheart?
Hey, baby, how you doing?
I was a lot younger back then, too. So, I mean, I've done kind of a talk thing. I just want to stay involved in communications, which I am. You know, they blew me out 5 minutes before my show. And
that's like the worst way.
Wait. Yeah. Now remember, I said I knew it was coming. Now, Albie D has got another nickname of the Don of D.C. I know everything that goes on. Okay. I've been doing it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I had an ace in a hole in my back pocket. I walked across the street or back home to WPGC, and within an hour's time, Jay Stevens hired me and put me on the radio.
Of course he would.
And they over at the old radio station at 99.5 were very shocked to find out that less than an hour later I was back on the air because they thought they were going to be able to keep me off the radio because of a non-compete.
Albie, tell everybody out there who's heard us talk about radio, even though you knew it was coming, tell everybody exactly how they handled it with you, a guy who had worked for, I think this time you had worked for the company how long?
Seven years. I was at that frequency for 7 years, and remember, it went through a series of
incarnations.
Right.
And through all the incarnations, you somehow managed to stay and keep every format going.
Well, because I produced the ratings and revenue, that's what we do in radio, right?
Bingo.
Right.
So they thought that they had now a non-compete, for those of you that don't know, means that, they can you, and you can't work anywhere in the market for, 6 months? Is that what it's supposed to be? Three months?
According to the union contract, it was 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a personal service contract, which is a personal contract that they let expire.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't read the fine print.
Uh-huh. Would you tell everybody, even though you knew what was coming, explain to people, really, from your perspective, what a cutthroat business is. You say they fired you 5 minutes before your show.
Oh, you know that. You've heard this before.
Tell people exactly what happened on that day.
Hey, Albie, listen, can you come in the office? Oh, man, I got 5 minutes. I got to go in the office. Go in the office. It's okay. Go in the office. And
at that moment, do you know?
Wait. When he said, shut the door?
Oh. Yeah.
There you go. That's how you know.
I said to him, I know exactly what you're going to do.
Oh.
Well, this is nothing personal. It's a business decision.
Oh, Christ.
And we've decided to make a business decision that doesn't include you.
Now, of course, I knew it was coming. It hit you.
Right.
So I paused because my Italian isms were definitely coming. I was hearing the theme of The Godfather in one head and Goodfellas in the other.
This is the program director you were talking
about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who you?
So then I had said,
kill with one hand type.
So I kind of shook my head and said, now, 3 weeks ago we did a performance review and you said everything was great.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're firing me?
Well, it's not a personal thing. This is a business decision and we've decided to go in a different direction.
God, the cliche.
Yeah.
This is where they lay the cliches on you.
Last time I checked, the afternoon drive show in that radio station was going up, so I guess the different direction would be down.
It's the only other one, I guess.
And the right, I don't know.
And as you mentioned, 3 weeks earlier, they give
performance review.
Right. And they say, okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then I ended in that performance review, which I had said, I've done nothing but to try to say to you, we have a communication issue here. Let's open this up. If you want to win, I can help you win. I want to be a winner, too.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And
that's somebody offering you a job.
Yeah, exactly. And he said again, it's nothing personal,
but how can it be anything but personal when some douchebag tells you that you're fired?
Right. It's totally personal.
And I don't know which
personal
guy this was.
It's personal if you're on the receiving end.
Yeah. But it's been my experience, Albie, that all of these guys who are program directors, full time PDs, are frustrated air talents. That if they could,
really, hold on,
true.
Hold on.
If they could, they do what we do.
Yeah.
They can't do it, so it's the closest they can get to radio.
I believe that. I believe they're in this business for a reason. I really do.
I don't even know the name of the program director, but I bet in some recess of his mind, he's getting back at you for being able to go on the radio that is, hey, Albie, it's nothing personal. It's nothing. And meanwhile, he shuts the door and he goes, I could never do that job, but I just fired the guy that did it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, let me explain to you a couple of other reveal a couple other things that happened 3 days before that?
Oh, please do.
The 3 days before that, the program director comes into my office and says, hey, listen, I've got a guy in that I'm thinking about doing nice. Would you sit down and talk to him?
Oh, no.
So I go, okay, sure, no problem. He brings him in, and he goes, Albie, this is so-and-so, and he's from blah, 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 and... You know, Albie's our music director and has been in the market for 20 years. He built the radio station. He knows everybody. He knows everything is about the music. Ask him about the music. And then when you're done, can you show him around the studio and show him how things work? I said, sure, no problem. So, like, I'm thinking, well, maybe, all right, maybe this guy's had a change of heart. Maybe I'm now included in the inner circle.
Because that's the nicest he's been to you, right?
Exactly. So then the day goes, the guy comes, the program director comes and gets the guy in the studio, walks him out. So I'm like, okay, cool. The next day, this is the day before I get whacked, he comes into my office and he says to me, hey, Albie, I got another guy that I'm thinking about hiring. Can you do the same thing you did yesterday?
God, what a bastard.
Oh,
sure,
man.
No problem.
Because you know what's happening here.
That was my replacement.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And they had you showing the ropes.
They fire me at 3:05. My phone rings at 3:05 from somebody who says they just changed the website. And the guy that you interviewed yesterday, he's the new afternoon drive guy.
Right. Oh. Now, remember, this is nothing personal.
This is a business decision.
Everybody doesn't that illustrate. Listen to this. They had it so orchestrated. Jesus Christ. Hey,
and then get upset because I appear on the radio less than an hour later across the street at the competition. And they're upset that I'm on the radio.
Jesus.
You know, it's so funny because when they say it's not personal, that's when it is personal.
And isn't it?
I mean, and it really is. I mean, because there are certain decisions where I'm sure, you know, in the history of radio, people have been let go, and it is not a personal thing.
Oh, this is not the first time it's happened to me.
But when somebody comes to you and says that, there had to be, and you vibe from the guy from the minute he walked in.
He walked through the door.
Then you can tell, and we've had guys like that, that we vibed on, that immediately you know they're not your guy. As a matter of fact, we've been working with them for about 3 years.
Well, can you imagine, though, the brain trust getting together and saying, okay, we're going to make this move. We're going to bring in this schmuck. Mm-hmm. Now, who can train him? And then someone says, hey, we'll have Albie do it. Albie knows it better than anybody anyway.
That, to me, is almost the kind of evil where they're sitting around and smirking about it. It would seem to me that's pure evil right there.
It could have been, you know, I've been doing it long enough. It could have been, look, we got a choice. Either A, we're going to reduce your salary because we can't afford you.
Right.
Or B, on this day, we're going to let you go. We're going to hire somebody and give me some time to put some plans in motion.
Find your next gig, right.
I would have been fine with it. I would have even done the last show and said, see you later, not to mention anything about it, and be done, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you never know. You never know.
Right.
You never know.
You never know. You want to take some calls?
Sure.
I think. I see all the lines ringing. I bet that they're Albie VD fans. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Trimmer calling for Buzz.
Well,
apparently
I was wrong about that. This is a call for Buzz.
Yeah, this is a call for Buzz.
For Bob.
It's a bad time.
Yeah, I know. I didn't expect to get on the air. No.
Did you say your name was Trimmer?
Trimmer, yeah. Yeah, I'm one of the techs over here.
One of the techs over where?
Over in Lanham.
Oh, really?
Hold on. Are you a guy that works for CBS?
Yeah, I work for...
You're one of the engineers?
Yeah.
The engineer that looks like Buzz.
Oh, well, you're on the show.
Yeah, I'm the guy that looks like Buzz, yeah.
You put him on hold, I think.
Is he calling on the request line?
Yeah.
It's the only number I got.
Hold on, wait a minute. This guy's an engineer.
By the way, I work for John.
Are there any other main numbers that...
No.
I told you to never call me here.
Right, hold on, please. Now, that's embarrassing.
Sure is.
You're going to a call for LBD, and it's an engineer calling to fix Buzz.
Is this Buzz's ceiling tile?
Either that or Buzz's computer.
Is this your ceiling tile call?
Yeah, it might be.
Hello, Don, Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, my friend.
Good. Wanted to ask LBD of the response of the station after he went across the street.
The response of which station? The old station?
At the old.
He got fired from. What did they say? What did they do once they found out you were
good question.
Here?
I'm curious about that. How did you find out the reaction? Did they call you? Did they try to contact you and say, man, what are you doing?
There was talk in the hallway, and, you know, I've got ears everywhere.
Right.
So they were upset that I was across the street. And then the look on some of the people's faces when I went back to the station that I originally put on the air in 1987, that is the number one station in Washington, D.C., to go back there and now program against them.
Right.
The look was of fear.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike. You're on with Albie VD. Hello.
Hey, what's happening, Don and Mike?
Hey.
Albie. Hey, Albie.
Yo.
Hey, you ever see that movie Training Day?
Yeah.
That's what they did to you.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? At the end of the day, I'm, you know.
Hold on. Who?
just refresh my memory.
I know that Denzel takes Ethan Hawke into the neighborhood.
I was just going to say, is Albie Ethan Hawke or Denzel Washington?
Yeah, they said him.
No, no, which guy is...
Denzel
Washington.
He's impervious to what's going on in front of him. He's just being set up.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't impervious.
Yeah, but Ethan Hawke gets revenge at the end
of the day. Ethan Hawke was the good guy, yeah. Right? Denzel Washington.
Doesn't he kill Denzel Washington at the end of it?
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
or he locks him up or something like that?
No, doesn't he end up in that...
He throws him out a window. They have a terrible fight.
Don't they drive back to the
Denzel's like banging some lady in the barrio.
Yes, they drive back there to the...
She's hot.
To the grotto.
Right. He makes Ethan Hawke like... take some narcotics as they're driving around.
Oh, I know what... I know the end of it. The end
I
of it
forgot.
That,
was it wasn't a joint. It was something a little heavier. You didn't watch that movie?
He
smoked crack? Was it a laced crack? It was like
he laced it with something so that...
He yeah, it's a joint that he laces with PCP.
So it fail his piss test.
And Ethan Hawke just...
And that movie ended because when they went back to the borough where Denzel Washington had been such a big dick to all these people all these years,
right.
Ethan Hawke just walked away. How you doing, Albie?
I'm doing great. I'm really enjoying it.
But in Man on Fire, In Man on Fire, Denzel snaps right back into being a good guy, right. Where he goes out and he kills all the drug dealers that kidnapped your favorite, Dakota Fanning.
Hello, Donna, my show. She is guilty of being hot. Hello, Donna, my show. Hey.
Hey, Don. Hi, Mike. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I still do work in a restaurant real close to Albie's old station, and he's a really nice guy. He used to deliver just one sandwich or something to him almost every day of the week, and all those pukes used to wear suits and everything and would come out and give us like 50 cents or a dollar, but Albie would come out to the lobby all disheveled in a Kiss t-shirt or a Led Zeppelin.
Wait a minute, man.
That's a compliment. I know where this is going, and he'd give you a big tip, right?
Yeah, he would give $5 or $6 for like $5 or $6.
There you go.
And you know the first rule, that because you've been doing this a long time, it doesn't matter. We are on the lowest rung of show business, but you have to tip.
And it matters.
You have to tip because people screw you if you don't.
In that whole building, he's the nicest guy in the whole building.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Thank you. See you later.
That story says it all.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Yeah, the Russian mob kills that guy.
Oh, that's right.
Training Day.
The Russian mob gets him.
I'll tell you, thank you, friend. The Denzel Washington movie you don't want to rent is the one that's on the dish now with Jodie Foster. P.U.
What's the name of that? Do you know the name?
It's called...
P.U.?
It's called Lunesta. Because we ordered it on an all-day ticket. So I started watching it at 9 in the morning. And
on the Ambien channel.
Yeah, and then I went and turned it on at noon. And again, it was on board. Then by 9 o'clock at night, it's still on. And I'm still like, Christ. I know it's an inside job with the guy inside the bank. I couldn't stand the movie. I normally like it. Give it an hour.
And Jodie Foster continues her trip to the wall.
Well, she's not really a woman. You know what I mean?
The plane movie. She, I thought, in Silence of the Lambs, she was fairly hot.
She's never
and I liked her close-ups, but when she started doing, it was the Panic Room, where she started to hit the wall a little bit, and then that one on the airplane.
She's always been on the wall.
Where she thinks her kid... No, I thought she was okay in
when
Silence
of the Lambs.
When
was Jodie Foster ever hot?
Now, Taxi Driver. Kidding, of course. That was the follow-up on the Dakota Fanning. I'm the father of two daughters.
God, Mike Show.
Hello? What's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, how about that for a sandwich, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Stop.
Jody.
You mean Jody from Taxi Driver?
Young
Jody. So that's... You know, that is...
Shame on both of you. Make yourself a Dagwood. You would have the Olsen twins. The Olsen twins in their prime.
Jesus.
In their prime, you'd have the Brady girls.
La, 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 la.
Brooke Shields. La, 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 la.
Anyway, hello. You're on the air with our friend Albie VD. Hello.
Hey, Albie, man. I'm glad you're back on 95. Well, PGC or whatever, man.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back, man. Because you got me started listening to PGC. And when you went over to the other station, man, I was like, dude, you're like the blackest white guy I know, you know? I hate that station over there.
That's true. You are a very black white guy. Exactly what's your makeup?
Something you've always strived for, haven't you, Don? I mean, you envy him in that regard.
I've always, you know, I don't know my parents, but I am sure one of them was at least mulatto. I mean, have you seen my new car outside? Look at my look at my car and tell me if I'm not black.
You got the big old 24-inch rims on it.
You know, my girlfriend said to me today, she said, "That's a beautiful car." She said, "I'm going to go buy you one of those gold crown air fresheners."
And I said, I know what you're saying.
It's funny.
What am I?
What are you?
I am a 100% a card-carrying member of the Italian race.
You're Italian. Well, I always thought of you as like Italian-Rican or something.
No, I'm Italian. 100%.
Oh, okay. Both Mama and Papa?
Well, tell us about what's this with all the music the kids are listening to?
Sometimes I'm still trying to figure it out why.
Rob has the best question, I believe, about today's modern music. Rob?
Where is the melody?
At the end of the day, can they sell 99 cent downloads and make a lot of money doing it?
That's all that matters.
That's it.
Two words, Cole Porter.
Right. Here's a question for you, Albie, because as I mentioned, I think we're both radiophiles and radio gym rats, and someday I wouldn't mind playing records again, because I always liked it.
Right.
I would
love to have heard you do it. You did nights at TGC for a few years.
Yeah, a long time ago, but the music now is different than...
Oh, yes.
The music then... when you're playing records now...
Well, they're actually not records anymore.
Well, you know, songs, discs, whatever we're calling them. You know, everybody knows records.
Hits. They're still hits.
They're still hits. Right.
Playing the hits.
Here's the question.
Yes, sir.
Do you get as sick of... goddamn, I don't want to go with something as... something that's good. Something that's good, but you play it so often... Like, for instance, when I was working in Top 40 Radio, it was like, Billy, don't be a hero, please. I can't stand that. And then every once in a while, there would be a great song that would come out by ELO or by Anita Baker, and you would think, man, I love this song. And a week later, you would say, if I hear this song one more time...
I'm going to put a needle in my eye.
Yeah. Now,
Even more so now, isn't it?
And that was my question. As a guy who's been through all of the changes in music over the last 20 years... From a DJ standpoint,
right.
Is it still as frustrating? Do you still hate the records as much, even if you love them because you have to play them so goddamn much?
Well, the thing is being a music director of a radio station, you're listening to them 4 or 5 weeks before they even go on the radio.
Right.
You know, and then listening to them in your office and playing for people around and playing for the program director. And then when he gets on the air, you kind of like it for the first week and a half or 2 weeks. And the next thing you know, that sucker hits power rotation. Mm. And that's, you know, where it was at 99.5. It's every 65 minutes. You hear the same song every 65 minutes.
I would be every 1 hour and 5 minutes.
That is correct, sir.
For those of you who are clockily challenged.
What's your favorite song right now?
Wow.
That you're playing, that you play on your radio station.
I bet you love Fergie's London Bridge.
That's okay. I liked it in the beginning.
Are you not thinking of that?
You know what I'm really liking is the new Monica song. Monica's got the song called Let the Beat Drop, and it's really good. She looks great in the video, too.
Uh-huh. I haven't listened to the station in a while, but the one I like when I was listening to it is what is that? Celebration by Kool & the Gang.
Wow, there you go.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
They're yeah, we played that three times a day at Jam in
99.5. I enjoy that. I really enjoy that.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is just for Albie. I'm gonna start real easy, and I'm going to work my way up the food chain.
Uh-oh, here
we go. A little stump the stew.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that you can guess this song. This is so easy. In 2 seconds. Ready?
Here you go, Al.
You'll get it in two. Here you go.
Pressure.
You don't have it?
Stacy Q.
Yes.
Two of Hearts.
Yeah.
Good job.
Damn, did I hate this song.
That was Kiss FM in Hartford for me.
Here we go.
That's right. I forgot you worked in my hometown.
You're from there.
I'm from Hartford, Glastonbury, Connecticut, right outside of Hartford.
I grew up North Haven.
You know what? We might have had this discussion, but we might not have remembered.
You know, I'm a graduate of the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
As am I.
You are too.
We had that discussion.
Wow.
But we were wasted.
Sorry about that. Reminiscing.
We were wasted. People not
Dick Robinson, you know, they got a location in Arlington, Virginia.
Yeah, people not in radio can get this one in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
But in your...
Oops, sorry.
Afternoon Delight.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, you're good at that. You're goddamn good. All right, I'll give you a hard one.
Hey.
Just with, I just with that.
So the
1 second. 1 second.
1 second?
1 second.
Oh! It's an R&B song.
Yes, it is. Isn't this like when we used to get high?
Oh, my God!
This is just like when we used to get high and party together.
And I can't.
Come on, one more time. Hold on. Here you go, Albie. Boo doo 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 doo.
Ah!
It's a briefcase.
And
Staple Singers.
There you go.
Staple Singers.
A little bit before my time.
Then I'll take you there.
Yeah. I know lady. Yeah, but I
Gemini
knew you'd get it.
Live, everybody.
I knew you would get it, though. Just on that. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yo, I have a question for Albie D, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Albie, when was it when you were first in WPGC, when you first started, and then you left to go to Hot 99.5?
What?
But, like, when is it when you started at Hot 99.5?
I started it, well, I went to 99.5 in 2000. I actually spent about 18 months up in Baltimore.
Oh, okay. See, I thought for a long time when I was growing up, I thought you were black. When I found out that you were black, I was so unhappy.
when you found out he wasn't black, you were unhappy?
No, I'm just kidding. I just had to say it. No, I'm a big fan, man. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, that's a good question, though, because do you find that when you do an appearance, would you ever get that where people would think you were a brother and then you showed up he's Italian!
We did that. I've done that. And one night, me and Kurt McEwen, we went out and did a run together when Kurt
real nice,
there.
Another good guy.
A
really
good guy. And Kurt McEwen used to do the DC-101, and Kurt's black.
Right.
So him and I went out and did a club run together, and we went on into the DJ booth, and we did a break, you know, like, hey, we're here, come by the DJ booth and say hi. So when people would come up and say, who's Kurt McEwen, they'd point to me. And who's Albie D, we point to Kurt. It was the greatest joke. It was so much fun. So much fun.
I know you're doing work, promoting records now. I know you're working at PGC. We just wanted to give you the chance, uncensored. What would you like to say? Because you'll be back on the radio. But until you're back on the radio full time, mm-hmm. if that's the move you make, what do you want to say to the people that listened to you for the 20 years that you didn't get to say to them on 99.5?
Well, I appreciate everybody's support. I mean, I couldn't have been in this town, as the both of you guys know, for 20 years without people listening, tuning in every day and giving you their time when they got other things and other choices to do. You know, I really appreciate the fact that that my listeners had continued to listen and followed me from station to station mm-hmm. and different formats. I've done, you know, a couple of different varieties of Top 40. And then when I hit the air back at PGC and some of them found me back over there, I was pleasantly surprised and very touched mm-hmm. on all the things that they had to say. And I thank them a lot. I thank you a lot for listening. I really do. It means a lot to me. And I will be back full time. I got a couple things working. I'm doing, like you said, at PGC. I'm also at Classic Rock 94.7 on a Sunday night doing some classic rock radio.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Good. And
you're working with a genius, Max Ducey.
Max is a good dude, man. Don't be disrespecting Max.
No, he's not.
What time are you on 94.7 on Sunday night?
I do 5 to 9 on Sunday night.
Oh, great.
That guy has a 20-watt bulb trying to fit into a lamp that will...
Max is a good guy. He stepped up.
Like he's 75.
When he heard that I was looking to work, he said, no problem, we'll get you on the radio.
Of course. You know why? Because you're LBVD. That's why.
Come on.
I don't care if it's a format. If Mickey Mantle's available,
yeah.
Do you think that a team with the DH or not the DH says that we're not going to pick him up, please?
Well, I got a feeling somebody's going to pick him full
like
time.
Like Max is doing, like please, you're doing Max douche the big man.
Max, I love you, man. Thank you so much.
He's also,
I'm not saying any of that.
He is also our program director.
I understand.
So. Is he?
Oh, jeez.
In many circles he is. Albie, it's great to see you.
Gentlemen, I'm an honor to be on this radio program.
I'm glad you came by. It's good seeing you after all these years.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
And keep kicking ass.
I'm going to try. By the way, in the last ratings that came out,
yeah.
I was number 2. You guys were number 1.
Yeah.
In the 18 to 34 demographic.
Yeah.
That's very gracious of you.
And
you don't hear that. That's why we like this guy. That is very. We wouldn't be that gracious.
Well, I mean, I know that, but I mean, we've always. And it's funny you said it at the beginning of the part of the interview. We've always kind of been competition to one another, and you know, I've never.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like
the never rival.
If I can get that close to Don and Mike's show,
right?
And I was close. But remember, they're going in a different direction now.
Yeah. There's a little dig right there.
Screw them. Albie, you're a good guy. You are a talented guy.
Thank you, guys.
And you've been a long-time friend.
Yes, both of you have to. And anytime you need me, I'm here.
Thank you, Albie.
All right.
Well, when we get fired, we'll come be on your show.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Albie.
I appreciate it.
Great seeing you.
Albie, good guy.
How about that?
Good guy.
He delivered the goods.
Sure did.
Bastards, they got his replacement right there.
Yep. Man, the trainer, that is beyond low.
That's radio, man.
Man, that is radio.
Sure. That's radio.
Hey, listen, can you show him around and show him how things work? Step in the office.
Could you shut the door, please? You know how I was really nice to you yesterday when I was telling you to train your replacement? You were fired.
Someone just tell Albie right now. This guy, Max, the program director that he's enamored with because he gave him a job. Hey, Albie, Max is just like the other guy. Don't be fooled.
You know, it reminds me of a movie I'm watching on cable always now.
Yes.
Fantastic Four. And with all program directors, you would like to have, there's a scene in the Fantastic Four.
I don't like the Fantastic Four, and I love comic books.
This guy,
what's the scene?
I don't know, it's the guy that's got the metal hand, and he's got the metal
face. Dr. Doom.
And he blows a hole, like, right in the middle of this guy, and the guy just falls down. And that line, personally, it was nothing personal.
Right.
Is used in that exchange, and they're in a parking lot, and he's standing at the end of the parking lot, and flames shoot out of his, I don't know, his hand or his eyes. And he blows a hole, this big gaping hole, clean through the guy. And it's like, nothing. And he stands over him as the body is smoking and the guy's bleeding from his mouth. Nothing personal.
I loved it. I truly did.
You know what I like?
What's that?
I like to die.
Well, you like to die for what?
When the invisible girl turned invisible. And you just see her bra like on I Dream of Jeannie.
I sure like Michael Chiklis. He's the thing. He's the thing. He looks like a big monster with Play-Doh.
Right.
And a big Play-Doh monster.
I like that stretchy man.
Yes.
And that movie, incidentally, is a movie that will be the new Short Circuit on HBO. That, I can tell already.
Yeah, I'm not bored with it yet.
It's going to be the movie that is on even like the HBO Latin channel. You're not going to be able to...
Yeah, you'll see that all the time.
And you ever do that? You ever, if you've seen something a million times, go over to HBO Latino just to see it with the Adam Sandler.
What's even better than that, if you have any Three Stooges DVDs, watching them in Portuguese, which
I've
done.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. And I bet I was drinking, but...
Just hit your SAP button.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, right? Big dummy.
Hey, you hit me in the head. You know I'm not normal.
Got a break, but we come back. Oh, from Mad TV.
Huh?
Oh.
I am such a fan of this guy. I love this guy on Mad TV more than anybody else. He's hysterical.
Somebody run the clock and see how long it takes me to ask Bobby Lee to be Kim Jong-il.
Mm-hmm.
I bet it's within the first 30 seconds. I will not be able to keep it in my pants.
He is the greatest.
He's good. And, of course, as always, if you have no other reason to listen to the show, we promote the fact that Bobby Lee from Mad TV will be on in a second.
Uh-huh.
There's always a chance Rob will screw it up. And
Oh, that's right. And we'll have to pad for the whole segment.
Yeah. So either way.
Have you confirmed the interview with Bobby Lee? 40 times. When was the last time? 10 minutes ago.
With Mr. Lee himself or with his wife, Michelle? Or his brother, Jerry?
Or his father, Christopher. That's a Dracula reference for all of you that might remember.
Lee.
Christopher Lee.
How about his brother, Spike?
You wanted me to make it a little more modern?
A little more.
Just because Albie's here playing the hits, you know, all the contemporary hits.
Yeah.
Let's go do some drugs and then talk about records.
Jesus.
You know, we had a kid that had dry skin in school.
Yeah.
His name was Peter Lee.
Yeah.
And we used to say, Puff the Magic Dragon, live by the sea and frolic with the animals and even Peter Lee. Because he had bad psoriasis. It was a great day. It really was. Kids can be so cruel. I don't care about the crickets. I still think it's funny.
All right, we'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Regis has got 3 balls. Regis in the ice. How many balls can Regis get old carry? He's got 3 balls and Shannon Sharp. You know, these athletes, they want to test Regis. They want to see how good he is.
Well, especially now that you have all the balls.
Right. Shannon Sharp, who's a big guy, boom, let's go. Actually, it wasn't that hard, but I had my arms were full of balls. Anyway, I reached up. 12-ball Regis, right there. Boom! Thank you.
No idea what he's saying. No idea he's being half a fag.
I'm sorry. Are we still on the air? Well, that's impressive, and I'm glad that you had that experience last night.
Made me feel like a real man. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and
fun. And balls.
Yeah.
There we are. That's the ball. There we go.
A daily four-hour salute to all you filthy sea bags. Don and Mike.
You effing C-word.
Thanks, Bill. Bobby didn't screw up. You got Bobby Lee on the phone? Ah, oh, good.
Bobby Lee!
If there's anything that gets Frank Caliendo upset, nothing really gets Frank Caliendo upset except somebody who doesn't buy a ticket to his show. Mm-hmm. I know it's the time that we have Frank on, and we always say to him, isn't Bobby Lee funny?
Yeah. And we do that a lot.
I mean, even when Frank's doing his shtick.
Oh. Right.
I remember the last time we had him on, I'm like, oh, that's great, Frank. How about the Kim Jong-il?
Oh, man, Bobby Lee and Connie Chung. Don't forget that. Oh.
So now it's time for something special from the Orient. Rob, way to go. You're almost a producer today, son. From Mad TV. You think he knows that we're big fans? Well, let's find out. Here is Bobby Lee.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey.
Hey. Welcome to the show. We are huge fans.
Oh, you are?
We are absolutely. Huge fans.
Why?
Why? Because the show's great and you're great on the show.
You are funny as hell.
I'm little. I have a big head for my body. I look like I have Down syndrome. Why do you like me?
I like you because you know what I like about you the best, Bobby Lee, on the cast of Mad TV?
I mean,
everybody on that show, on occasion, will go all day with a certain bit. But I think you commit. You commit more than anybody else.
Is it like we're playing a match game?
Oh, he does,
though. I love the money, that's why.
Yeah, Don wrote down the exact same thing because you commit.
I just wrote that down. I swear to God, when Mike started talking to you, I wrote, you commit, because I wanted to say that to you, too. When you have a bit on Mad TV, you go all the way with it, and it is freaking great.
I mean, the people that have watched Mad TV, I would venture to say, Bobby, they have seen your nipples more than any other cast member. I mean, maybe Michael McDonald occasionally gets in there, but I think they've seen yours. You know, I mean, whether it's a baby carriage, you know, I mean, it all washes together. I'm not going to ask you about anything specifically, but I love it.
Would you please just talk as Kim Jong-il for a moment? What was the clock on that? How long did we add? 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
2 minutes and 30 seconds. We got him to talk about Kim Jong-il.
I was showing incredible restraint, yeah. Bobby, by not asking you to do that like a monkey, like dance monkey dance in the first 15 seconds. Because
I feel dirty, guys.
I mean, even before he became America's favorite dictator, when he first started becoming popular in the news,
right?
I mean, everything you do is funny. Connie Chung used to be my favorite.
Right.
And I know you hear this a lot, but that Kim Jong-il, especially when he was just making his way to the top of the charts, goddamn it, that stuff kills, dude.
How long have you been
on the
show?
Buddy.
Bobby, how long have you been on the show?
I've been on the show, this is my sixth year.
Sixth year, and you really came in.
I'm never going to work again, guys.
I seem to see a trend. I know that a lot of people come through Mad TV, they go on to other things,
and
I'm always bummed out when you lose a cast member because, you guys are all so talented. And I really think that, I've always said this, this is the unsung show, the unsung sketch show on Saturday nights, because Saturday Night Live, you guys are just so much more edgy. I really enjoy that, and you look like you're having a good time. Obviously, a different show.
Well, I'm best friends with all the cast members, and it's just fun to show up and just do what you want to do, you know what I mean?
For instance, when they, and obviously you get all of the Oriental work, all of the Asian.
Did you just say Oriental?
Yeah. But I amended it.
Human being Oriental?
I amended though to say Asian.
Yeah, he was saying that for comedy purposes, Bobby.
For instance, when they come to you,
you're goddamn right it is.
When they come to you and they say, we want you to be Connie Chung.
Yeah.
The very first time that you put on the outfit and you went out there.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, I think this is a compliment. You look nothing like Connie Chung. This is what makes it so great.
Right.
What did you think? Did you know that was going to kill the first time you did it?
Well, I don't know if it
killed the first time. I remember, like, when I got into the makeup, I started crying because it just didn't feel right. I felt dirty, and then...
I felt dirty.
after the 90th time, I was just like, this is getting out of hand.
You see, when
you know what I mean? I might as well marry Maury, you know what I mean?
When I watch you do that, I get the impression it just... You enjoy it. I mean, just sitting there and all... I mean, really... It got established where all you have to say is, I am Connie Chung. And you do look like, I mean, you obviously have fun doing a lot of stuff on that show.
Yeah.
But the Connie Chung, do you enjoy it as much as it looks like you do?
Well, yeah, I have fun. Especially this year, I'm doing stuff with Mike McDonald. He's playing Maury, and it's fun. I finally get to kiss him, and it's fun.
And he commits. As we said before, he commits to the character.
Yeah.
No, you do. And what about... again, just to show you how we are giving a prostate exam today. Big fans of Bobby Lee. We are speaking like Yoda. Even on Curb Your Enthusiasm, you did a guest shot. When Larry David was into his gambling thing. And would you tell us how you got that gig? Because I thought, you were very funny on that show.
Well, the casting director for a Curb is a big fan of Matt, so... She called me in, and basically I read with Larry, and he just hired me right on the spot. I mean, I did have to audition, but it was pretty easy, you know. I just did it, and then it was the best, like, experience in show business because of the fact that there was no script.
Yeah, I wanted to, excuse me, I don't mean to keep jumping in, and I'll stop,
yeah.
But I wanted to ask you that. One of the things I hear about that show is that there is no script, so... Hey, can you tell us what it was like in your scenes?
I literally showed up at 8 in the morning, and I didn't know what I was playing, really, and I didn't know really what scenes we were doing. And they set up the shots, and I showed up, and basically 1 minute before they called action, Larry told me what was going on.
Oh, that is very...
It was really scary, but, man, it was a lot of fun.
That's great. God damn it.
The logistics of when you're doing Mad TV, because I am such a big fan, and I'm always kind of confused as to how the show... works. I know you tape different segments at different times. Do you bring in a studio audience for some things and not for others?
Yeah.
I mean, how does it work and how long does it take to put together like one episode of Mad TV?
Well, I mean, the whole process is mind-boggling. I mean, you know, on Tuesdays we have a table read and we read about 60 sketches.
Mm.
And only 7 get picked. And so it's very competitive, and it's like auditioning on a weekly basis.
Okay.
And sometimes you just get screwed. I mean, like some weeks you show up and you have nothing. You know what I mean? But so in that case, it's really hard. But, you know, at the same time, I think they're really good about spreading the funny. You know what I mean? They're letting everyone kind of do their own thing.
And is it like a real sitcom where they will bring in, where you have one particular night where you do
every other
stuff?
Week, yeah.
Every other week.
We have a live audience.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I'm just thinking. I'm just writing down things about Bobby Lee. Didn't I also, now correct me if I'm wrong, because all Asians look alike.
Yeah.
But. Guys, do you remember when I came in and said that I saw Bobby Lee in an IBM commercial?
Mm-hmm.
Like a bank? Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, weren't you in an IBM commercial?
Yeah, I was bald.
Yeah.
Ah.
Right.
Well, you didn't think it was me? Who'd you think it was? Sandra Oh?
The only Asian in TV currently. Right,
then here's a serious question for you.
Yeah.
Since Jack Sue, I think that...
Is Jack Sue was Barney Miller, right?
Right.
Oh, right.
Since Jack
also
he
was also fantastic in Flower Drum Song.
It is hard to come up with, unless you go all the way back to Hop Sing on Bonanza.
Right.
It's hard to find, as you like to put it, an Asian person.
Well, let's not ignore Sulu.
Right? No, he doesn't count, does he?
Well, he's gay.
Yeah,
but he's not Asian 100%, is he?
I believe he is. Sulu is Asian 100%.
Yeah. I thought he was like part Polynesian.
No, he's totally.
Oh, my God, guys.
He's totally Asian, Captain.
Oh, remember Short Round from Indiana Jones? He did all right.
All right, so Bobby, here's the serious question.
Yes,
as we've already tried to tell you, we think you're a funny guy. Really, your stuff cracks us up. Because you are Asian... obviously, that is going to limit the amount of roles that are opened up to you. Are you waiting for Jackie Chan to get stung by a stingray so that you can do the next Rush Hour with Chris Tucker? I mean, I'm trying to think of anybody else that's a tough nut to crack, and you're so goddamn funny.
Well, I think I think Hollywood's changing a bit. I mean, I think there's a lot of us on TV now. Daniel Day Kim on Lost, the other Asian chick that's on there, and,
right.
You know, I mean, John Cho has done some things, you know, I mean, it's different, I think, and I think, I've been pretty busy for 5 years, man, so I'm not really worried about that kind of stuff, man. It's just as long as I work, you know?
When you go out, with Ike Barinholtz and you guys will go to the, to the movie premieres.
I hate Ike.
Do they hate both of you guys when they show you coming, when they see you coming? Because really,
you know, hold on, Mike,
that's really what we DJs do.
That's where you commit as well. When you've got someone on the red carpet.
Oh my God, you guys all day. I mean, do you have security personnel or the regular publicist that go, oh Jesus Christ?
No, people avoid us. Like I know that Jessica and the Hiltons. They always, I mean, whatever Simpson. They run by and. You know, Paris Hilton runs by. They don't really talk to us.
Because the thing is,
they're aware of you, though.
The thing is,
no, I guess maybe they are. I mean, one time George Lucas walked by and he shook his head and he said, "Mad TV sucks."
Oh no, he sucks.
Yeah, I could read his lips. I mean, he said it, and I'm like, oh man.
Oh my God.
Well, I'm never going to be in Star Wars.
they send Bobby and who's the other guy? Mike
Barinholtz.
They send them out to these Hollywood premieres, and it's so great because they just show celebrity after celebrity walking by, and they stand there, and they got the mic flags, and they
right.
go...
No, you hate him, Bobby, but I will give him a compliment. I believe he makes an effort to match your level of commitment occasionally. Doesn't quite get there, but he does it. And
the best. Yeah,
and
I love it.
And I hate to be a stalker fan, but I'm going to mention something that you're not in that was on the show. What happens
do.
In Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh, that was great.
When Ike Barinholtz... They do a takeoff on that commercial campaign, right. And it's him at a buffet licking the food, which I think is one of the funniest things. And you wouldn't see that anywhere else. And you guys, I hope you keep doing stuff like that. I really do.
This Saturday, Ike's doing Dane Cook, and it's going to be hilarious.
Oh, God.
Fantastic.
I
can't wait.
That's great.
So,
Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee. Lee.
That was okay. That was Bobby Lee, like a Jerry Lee,
Right.
Bobby Lee. What is it that you would like at this point? You're obviously happy on Mad TV. Would you want to do one of those sucky sitcoms, or would you like to do more film work, or you know, maybe this will seem like a dumb question. Excuse my ignorance. Do you do stand-up like Frank does?
Yeah, not as much like Frank, but yeah, I do it.
Yeah, but I mean, do you do, obviously you don't do the Frank's whole shtick.
Right.
You know,
Frank, you'll go out to the clubs and actually you have an act that you take on the road or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I just played Sacramento State last week and I did the San Jose Improv. I mean, I do the road, I just don't do it as much as Frank. I just don't like it.
So you don't like the stand-up as much as that? I mean, guys don't like it.
No, I love doing stand-up. I just don't like, you know, worrying about if people are going to show up or not, you know?
Yeah, and Frank does worry about that.
Frank worries about that a lot. He's very paranoid about that.
Well, he's got kids and stuff, man, so he's got things to worry about.
Yeah, you know, when he was here... And I hope it doesn't insult you that we're talking about someone else while we're talking to you. But when he was here last in town, my girlfriend and I went to see him, and he was amazed that he sold out 5 shows in D.C.
Yeah.
And, I mean, really, he was awestruck and humbled, and I felt bad for him after the show because he was standing there signing his CDs and selling his stuff. And I walked up to him later, and I said, "Frank, my man, you're bigger than this." And he said... Oh, no, I'm not. This is great. This is great. These people are buying my DVDs.
There's no inferiority complex on Mad TV, is there, Bobby?
No. I mean, there is a little bit. I mean, I just don't think that we get the respect that SNL gets, and it's like, so we just have kind of low self-esteem here.
Well, you know, you should be aware of the fact that there is a, you know, albeit probably a smaller group of people, but people that not only respect you but think you're much more edgy than Saturday Night Live has been for a decade and a half. And I really hope you guys keep doing it. Well, obviously you do keep doing that. You throw different stuff and see what sticks to the wall, and that's what keeps it funny, I think.
And the last thing I'd ask is how much you obviously are a funny MF-er, but how much of what you do on the show is written either by you and the writers before, and how much when the cameras get going, are you allowed to screw around?
Yeah, I mean, on certain things, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I do these things called 24. Do you ever see those?
Yeah, oh, 24 with Bobby Lee.
Hold on,
yeah.
Bobby Lee's
where, like, they go to your apartment and you're in your underwear.
That is another one of the best bits of all time.
Serious, one of the best bits. And that you started that last year, right?
Yeah, and those are the things that I write and stuff. I'm doing another one next week. And those things I just have complete control over. But some things I don't. Like, the Connie Chung, it's, like, written, and right. The writers write it, and I just do it the way it's scripted, and, you know, I trust them, you know.
Well, dude, that's
24 with Bobby Lee, please keep doing that.
24 with Bobby Lee
right.
Is one, here's I don't know if you get a lot of compliments like this, but it's one where the first time I saw that, I actually just paused it, rather than just hit record, paused it, went upstairs, got somebody, and said, you have to come down to see this right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're already sleeping. I said, you see, because everybody loves 24.
It really is frustrating for us because we are fans of that show. And you're right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't get the notoriety that SNL gets, of course.
You'll get that notoriety.
But, man, it is just, you know, I don't know how that could ever change. I think the fact that you are where you are and you are on that night, I think it works. And know that there is a passionate fan base out there that watches that show and thinks it's just far superior to Saturday Night Live.
Thank
and
you.
Has been
yeah.
for a very long time. Please
I'm
tell
sitting,
every,
I'm everybody. I'm sitting next to Keegan right now.
It's great.
You know
although
Keegan is?
Keegan.
What is a Keegan?
He's on the show. Keegan. He does Coach Hines.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
See, now, even us as fans, we don't know everybody's name. I mean, that's,
well, they do change the cast.
And
I mean,
that's the one thing at
that.
The beginning of the show. I mean, for an ensemble cast, you got like 20 people with their faces up there, and I go, I know like five of them.
And there is a bit of a life expectancy, Bobby, on the show. What's the average kind of visit that cast members have on that show?
I think 80% of the new cast members that get on the show get fired in 4 weeks.
Wow.
It's
pretty
really
good.
Brutal.
Oh, man, that is nasty.
And I mean, you got 4 weeks to prove yourself, so anyone that makes the past 4 weeks is a warrior.
And between you and I, we all know, even though he's a friend of ours, Caliendo's a one-trick pony, right?
talented, bro.
Now you take away that Madden, you know what he is? He's Jim Belushi. That's a joke. I don't get mad, Frank. That's a joke.
It's a joke. He's
seriously.
Talented.
Well, you guys do a great job. More 24 with Bobby Lee because that is fractionally funny.
Oh, and also before we let you go, I want to say good luck to you this year on Survivor. I hope you don't get voted off the island. I think you're great. You were great on the challenges last week.
Oh, you son of a...
No, you know, you guys... Did you guys see the Survivor spoof on Mad TV for their opening week?
No, I missed that one.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. They took the racial thing, and they went all the way with it. Of course they went all the way with
all
it.
All the stereotypes we did.
Well, good luck with this season, and really,
Thank you very much, I'll see you guys when I'm in D.C.
Please do not be a stranger. Ask Frank. We're not dicks. Come by the show.
I know. I'll be there, buddy.
Thanks, Bobby Lee. Thank you very much.
Bye. Thank you.
There he is. One-trick pony Bobby Lee. His whole thing is Kim Jong-il.
I forgot, you know, and I'm so glad before he left we got that 24 with Bobby Lee, which is just, and you know, that's what makes it funny because they let him do whatever the hell he wants. You know, him smoking cigarettes in his briefs.
In his underpants.
His underpants. His little boy's underpants.
As I remember that bit, he commits because he walks, you get a lot of shots of him like just walking around his apartment in his underpants.
In his underpants.
And it's done on that grainy video like surveillance tape.
Answers the door, you know, in his underwear. You know, hey man, some of the things really work. Connie Chung, man dressing as woman, that works. It's funny. Man in underwear, funny. Sorry, it always works.
All right, that's Bobby Lee. Let me see. Oh, they would like us to mention Mad TV airs Saturday late nights on Fox. Check your local listings. Mm-hmm. You can also see Mad TV 6 days a week on Comedy Central.
You know, that's a bad way to promote it, really. I would say if it airs Saturday, if you don't want to watch the 11 o'clock news on Saturday night, turn on Mad TV.
No, unless you live in D.C.
Right.
Because they've now moved it.
They moved it.
To 11:30.
Oh, so it's 11:30 directly against Saturday Night Live.
Because they've got their dumb... Have you seen the dumb Channel 5 news show now at 11 o'clock?
No.
You
know, heard
here
about
it. Here in D.C., the Fox station, like many Fox stations, because they ran out of shows at 10 o'clock, they run news, right? So they get a one-hour lead-in on everybody else.
Oh, man, how am I going to watch the first half of Saturday Night Live? No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm a hypocrite.
Well, now on Channel 5, at least here in D.C., I think they ripped this off from a Fox station in Tampa.
Right.
They have something called The Edge.
Yeah.
And it's at 11 o'clock, and what it really is, it's all the same dribble that they just gave you from 10 to 11,
what?
Except they stand up, and they have fancy plasma screens behind them.
So we're getting an hour and a half of news now?
On Channel 5, yeah. And I don't mind it Monday through Friday, but last Saturday night,
right.
Janet and I were sitting down to watch TV, mm-hmm. and I said, hey, there is something wrong with the TV. Why is the news on? Because then I went to 88. I went to Fox,
right.
the high def feed, and the station in New York was running Mad TV. As a Channel 5, why are they running news at 11 o'clock on Saturday night?
I would have been blown away
by Mad TV.
What they needed was a new vehicle to put laser sound effects and news together, and they have it with the Edge.
And but hats off to Will Thomas for growing those sideburns out.
Wilma.
Looks like
Wilma.
Elvis now?
Yeah, he's got Elvis sideburns.
Looking good.
You know what I like about not only the Fox News Channel, but the local Fox station, is that they're very discreet with the logos.
They're real subtle.
Yeah. Subtle.
Don't overdo
you
it.
You never can tell. I mean,
they have logos?
When I watch Channel 5 here, Fox 5 in D.C., they've got, it's worse than Fox News Channel. Mm-hmm. I'm now used to Fox News Channel with the American flag, that kind of meshes into the word live in one corner,
mm-hmm.
and the writing on the bottom of the screen. But Channel 5 here, mm-hmm. they've got a rotating box that says Fox News,
right.
and they've got another rotating box that has the temperature and the time, and then they've got the Fox thing in the upper right-hand corner. They got something in the upper left-hand corner. What do they call those things, Buzz? Those things that, those logos. There's a name for
bugs?
That.
The
oh,
bug? Bug?
Yeah, the bug.
Because it used to be... Whatever happened to that, was that a wives' tale that those that you could burn that into your TV if you left it on
no, like plasmas,
one station long enough, you would get like the CBS eye?
Especially, but even other TVs, when you get it home from the store, the contrast is set so high that if you leave one image on the screen for a long time and there's white in that, it just burns into the screen.
And you get the clap.
Yeah.
But not Buzz, because he's clean.
He's clean That's as right. a whistle.
Buzz is just super deluxe.
Always clean.
I keep the contrast down.
Well, I think today, in the first 2 hours and 15 minutes of the show, I think we can knock off for the whole week.
I agree.
I mean, really, compared with the lousy show that we normally do,
mm-hmm.
we had a solid first TO hour.
That was a real guest you just
We had there. A good time with Al BVD.
Try doing more of that.
And we just had Bobby Lee on.
We really exceeded our quota.
Mm-hmm. Now,
you Rob, find him, or did he fall into your lap?
I chased him.
You chased him a little bit? All right, very good. Thank you so much. That was a thrill.
Are you lying, or did he fall?
No, I chased.
He's a faller?
I chased.
He's a faller? You a catcher?
I chased.
You chased?
You really chased Bobby Lee, so you went out and got Bobby Lee.
Called his publicist?
Correct. Don, are you going to start requesting people that he goes out and gets? Because there's one that's sitting
never,
on the table.
Because I've never done that, Mike.
Right.
Because I've never asked Rob to get
You really should've.
To get specific guests. I've never asked him
never
that.
Have.
I never have.
I know one guest that would make you producer of the world.
Producer of the world?
Yes.
Who's that?
Robert De Niro.
Oh,
Bobby D. Don has been asking for Bobby De Niro since we've been working
Please.
Together.
I just turned him down.
I might as well ask Santa Claus to have anal with the Easter Bunny in front of me.
But Rob does want to be producer of the world.
Next Wednesday.
Now listen, I don't want you to...
I request any cast member from that movie, the Scorsese movie coming up.
The new one?
The Departed. Any cast member.
We keep requesting.
Yeah.
Is that a long-distance dedication? Long-distance request?
That's a long-distance impossible request.
Here are the names.
You know who he would get? He'd get the girl.
No. He couldn't even get her.
Right.
I can get her.
All right, if you were going to get guests in that, because, I mean, that we're talking Hollywood elite of Hollywood elite, who would be the pecking order? You got to start with Jack.
Of course you do.
Then you go down and you get... Now, then it gets fuzzy right away. Because you've got Matt Damon and you've got Leonardo DiCaprio.
I would go with Matt Damon before
right.
Leonardo DiCaprio. And then you would have...
you got DiCaprio.
And you have Marky Mark.
And you got Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark. And
you got Alec Baldwin.
And you got Sheen.
Martin Sheen
is in that movie.
Right, he's in there.
So there are six names we've tossed out, Colin.
All right.
Do your best.
Sheen. Marky Mark. DiCaprio. Nicholson. And Alec Baldwin.
This is a funny discussion, because none of this will ever happen.
Oh, it might.
This is a funny, funny discussion.
I bet you would be thrilled to get Alec Baldwin on this show.
Of course, Mike, I was thrilled to get his no-talent brother,
who incidentally...
Well, he called us.
That's what I was going to say.
Daniel.
Called us because he was listening out in San Francisco.
Daniel
I'd
Baldwin.
I'd be thrilled to have any Baldwin on this show, for God's sake. I'm thrilled that we have anybody that's not got the world's biggest ball of goddamn on this show. I'm thrilled.
And now that we've determined the order that we should book the people from that movie, do you prefer leprechauns or unicorns?
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Yeah, Don?
Yes, and Mike. Hello.
Hey, you know what they call that boosting box on Channel 5 News?
What do they call it?
Tutalsa.
Bad phone, I didn't hear.
It was something about a rotating box on Channel 5. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, we're doing great, thanks.
Hey, I have one of those TVs, a plasma TV, where I had that burn-in, but all those warranties from all these high-end places, they don't cover that. So you end up with a piece of garbage that you paid $3,000 for.
Well, they don't warranty it because they actually give you a warning not to do that, right. To not leave that on too long.
Right. It's like, here, buy a TV, but don't watch any TV channels.
Buzz is going crazy because we're talking about television, and his microphone's not turned on.
Oh,
I was just going to say, you're right, Mike.
Thank you, Buzz.
Thank you, Bob. We'll be right. Bob, that was not on purpose.
No, I know that.
You know that, right?
I do know.
Yeah. What, Buzz?
He just turned it off again.
Do know that!
There he is. Okay, thank you. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show. When you're ready to market, you only need to know one name.
Michael Hughes.
At the Michael Todd Hughes School of Marketing, you'll learn everything you need to know about successful radio marketing, like how to make a definite game plan.
Well, that's something we probably need to talk with them about.
And how to stick to that game plan.
We had talked about, the usual.
How to tackle issues head on.
That's a good question. I thought the place...
How to expand your area of dominance.
I've got enough problems here in D.C.
While never abandoning the Michael Hughes bottom line.
We don't market the show,
Learn forceful networking skills.
I try and get everybody's attention I can. I talk to every general manager who will take my call across the country.
And how to talk in circles.
The only thing I passed along that didn't happen was what I relayed. But, I got to see what they did and didn't run. But
so call Michael Todd Hughes and start marketing today.
There you go. The Don and
Mike Show. There you go.
Right.
Hello! You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Look out.
Woo, look out! Look out!
Yeah, watch out, watch out. I used to sing around and play this on the radio all the time. As Babe Ruth used to say, it's all in the big inning.
I'm with you.
Told you everybody.
I like that.
I say, hey, I told you before I worked with you, I listened to you.
Well, there's no accounting for
what you've never done for me.
What?
You know what you've never done for me?
Hold on a second.
98% effective against chiggers and ticks. The Don and Mike Show.
I love you like a brother, but I'm not doing that to you, for you.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something else.
I thought you wanted that sex thing that you always want me to do for you.
No. I still want that, but you'll never do that. I want the Kentucky Derby break. Do you remember the Kentucky Derby break? You were promoting the Kentucky Derby coming up on your... You had like a Friday night show. I was listening to you on a Friday night. I was in a good mood because I was going out. I showed my teeth. I consider it, in my mind, the bit that I heard it, it was silly, it was stupid, but it was funny, and you talked over a record doing it, and I thought it was very, very funny.
No idea.
And now that I've set it up, it would die.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You were talking about the Kentucky Derby, and you were talking about my money's on Mr. Ed.
Great bit.
He told me he was going to win. Hey, you said it. You said it on the radio as...
I didn't bring it up now. Really, that was when I was playing records. Right?
I was actually, yes. Yeah, you were playing records, and it was just, so stupid and so silly that I enjoyed it. And it was a compliment. Jesus Christ.
All right. Thank you very hard.
Yeah. I was drinking.
Compliment.
Rob's right. You know what? Rob's right. I was listening to you after about like 18 cocktails.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Hello. How's it going, Don? Am I?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
How are you?
Oh, and the update, in case you're just getting in your car.
Yes.
T.O.'s alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We covered it earlier.
Yep.
We saved his life.
Yep.
He's okay.
He's great.
Good work, Don.
One little counseling phone call is all it took.
What's up? What can we do for ye?
Well, I have a website that I am got put up, and I got some letters from Playboy, and they are saying that I'm infringing on their copyrights.
Now, are you on your website? Are you reprinting stuff that is the copyrighted property of Playboy,
or
Major League Baseball?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. I have beautiful women on my site, but they're all pictures that I have taken up with my camera.
What is Playboy saying you're doing?
They're trying to say that I'm infringing on their name.
Why?
Without giving out the name of your site, do you use the name Playboy in your site?
No, only name I use is Boy. It's dissimilar to theirs.
But you know, I think in a way we're being played here.
I think we're really being played to get his website mentioned.
What kind of women do you have on your website?
See, Mike, I think you're right. He's saying you can check the website out. Right. Like we're going. Hold on a second. Give the information to Joe.
There you go.
So we'll find out.
I think he might have been playing us just to get a website mentioned.
A plug for his website.
You know, hey, I've got these beautiful women on my website, Playboy. I've got a real problem, guys. Listen, the website with the incredible naked women having sex is blah, 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 blah.
I mean, God, if that was the case, if Playboy could go after anybody that had a website with porn, Jesus Christ, Hef would be having sex on Mars right now.
Even though he's old.
Hello, Don and Mike, with his twins. I mean, not his daughters, but his twin girlfriends.
Doesn't he have three girlfriends now?
Yeah, the triplets.
And we had that Playboy playmate on it, said that one night a week was sex night.
Right. And then
he finished himself.
Not movie night.
Right.
Yeah.
With baby oil covering them.
And then the girls
got yeast infections because of the baby oil.
That's reminded me of all of that. Hello, Don and Mike Joe.
You're welcome.
Hey, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hey, howdy, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was just calling with my theory on T.O. and what he is doing.
Well, we've been waiting for it.
We need a theory.
he did this to help his image.
Yeah, right. Now, will you please tell me how you came up with the theory of relativity?
Well, because I'm so fed up with T.O., I just despise him the way he is.
Who's your favorite football team?
The Redskins.
Okay. Just checking, just to see if you were objective, because a Philly fan would not be objective.
But really, in all seriousness, Mr. Einstein, really, I mean, you cannot believe that this was a premeditated bit thought out by T.O. Please tell me.
I don't think it was thought out by T.O. I think it was thought out by his publicity guy.
Albert, I had a poster of you on my wall, for God's sakes, when I was a kid. With your crazy hair.
And sweater.
And I love the fact that you're like a high school dropout, but you're the smartest guy of all time, Albert Einstein.
Like the ladies, man.
Well, I just think he's getting way too much credit and too much press, and they're making too much of a big deal about him, and he's not even the best T.O. that I know.
Who is this?
Timmy O'Bibene.
That's the whole point.
Timmy O'Bibene. Not Tony Orlando. Timmy O'Bibene.
I don't know where you're calling from. Where is area code 443?
It's a cell phone. And I'm out here in good old Calvert County.
Oh, by Baltimore. You know what? I'm sure there's a sports station that would love to hear this dribble.
Hello?
Okay.
Bye!
I don't know how else to break up with somebody. People say I'm too cruel when I hang up on them.
And also to give us the theory that was shot out there about 2 hours ago.
I don't know how to tell you this, but I think Mike and I should see other people. And I think you should as well.
It's just not working out.
It's not. As I said to LBVD, it's nothing personal.
Nothing personal at all. We just need to move on.
Can you do me a favor, though? If I get another caller on the air, could you explain to the caller what it's like to be on the air?
Okay.
Very good.
See, conceptually, I'm going to do the LBVD thing. Right. Let's see. Here's another caller. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike. Love the show.
Hi. Hold on now. Guy from area code 443. What's your first name?
I'm Patrick.
Patrick, do the very best job you can in explaining to this caller how he should behave on the Don and Mike show.
I don't know.
Hello?
Hey, caller, the new caller, you're being tutored right now. Please keep your mouth shut while we have this previous caller tell you what to do on our show, and then we'll go right to you.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller, first caller.
I guess you should have the Don and Mike opinion.
You're fired. Now. You're fired. We're moving on with the other caller.
Let's welcome your replacement.
No,
hey, Don
Mike. God, that was an incredibly long way to go, but at least give me this. The concept was funny. Right. I wanted to demonstrate the same concept that they used when they fired our friend Al BVD.
It's always a challenge when you try to work listeners into one of your sketches.
Hello. All right, here's what am I saying? He's been on the air. You're the guy that was just trained. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I was calling about your boy Sean Alexander. They said he might play this weekend.
Hey.
So,
wow.
That's big. Yeah, right. My boy Sean Alexander. Not a champion.
It says it on ESPN. He might play
not
this
a Listen, and Sean Alexander is my boy. I got him. But I don't think there's a chance he's playing. But he's not playing in my lineup this weekend.
He took 30. ESPN's reporting he might play this week.
It's been 30.
ESPN's reporting. Sean Alexander tried to commit suicide.
Hey, Yanni, is that true?
I heard that also. I'm checking right now.
I'm not starting him. And we heard you breathing again. I am not starting him. I'm going with one running back and three wideouts this week.
I'm going with, I haven't spoken to my general manager yet.
Oh, yeah, what's your record, Mike?
0-3.
Oh, that's right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Aren't you going to ask me?
Hey, you guys.
No.
3-0.
I didn't have to ask.
Polar opposite. Hello, Don and Mike.
It's just because they got a bad team. And I'm not talking about my players. I'm talking about my management team.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Back here at the box.
Turn down whatever the noise is in the background, please.
What are you doing?
It's the reason that Jesus had those nails put through his hand.
What are you doing?
What is he doing? Damn. What is this?
I think you know.
Do you think it's somebody having sex, Buzz?
It certainly sounds like it. It's all that friction.
Either that or it's somebody trying to shove the phone.
Same thing.
In, perhaps into someone's...
Or it might be the Walter Hudson factor.
Oh, the guy that was so fat he was actually sitting on his telephone.
Sitting on his cell phone, couldn't even hear it ring.
Couldn't hear it calling him.
That's not sitting.
And boy, as great as that is to listen to, I'm afraid we're going to move on to another stellar call.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, I had a question.
Yeah.
Well, no need to ask it, then.
I got a question, too. Why are we taking calls?
Because it's fun.
That's my question.
Because it's fun.
Why are we taking calls, for God's sakes?
Today was good. We had Albert Einstein and Albert D.
Yes, Albert D.
8,000 tapes to play for you.
Alberto D.
And we're running way, way behind on our tapes. And all you Jerry fans out there, it's Gold Jerry. No way we're getting to that today.
Gold the vagina
Jerry.
Is the window to the soul.
Oh, hold on a second.
Well said.
That's
you, full-fledged slut.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Did I play you this one already?
You're effing him like a Thanksgiving turkey.
That's the one I think we need to analyze further.
Effing him like a Thanksgiving turkey.
Okay, what, now like let's think about how Phil prepares his Thanksgiving turkey.
Like you've never had sex with a Thanksgiving turkey?
McGraw.
It's all about the basin.
Dr. Phil's Jay stuffing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, we are. Hello there.
Hey, this is Eric from Baltimore. I just wanted to let you know that Sean Alexander is supposed to play this weekend.
Yeah, great.
But I wouldn't start him.
He won't be on my team. He's going against the Chicago Bears. And
he's doubtful.
Screw it.
Yeah, I bet you they're going to sit him this weekend. And then.
All right, my friend. 35 pills. See you later on Talk Radio for Sports. Let me see.
Could be an elaborate setup.
Oh, hold on. Here we go. I know we got good tape of Larry from last night. The Frog had Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer, Howard Stern on.
Mm-hmm.
Howard K. Stern. Where he last night revealed...
And his legal assistant, Robin.
He revealed on the he revealed on the Frog Show last night that he is the father of Anna Nicole's baby.
Wow.
So here's some tape now of this guy on with Larry King.
Can I...
Oh, go ahead,
Mike. I just wanted to do my Anna Nicole Smith from months ago.
Sure.
Like my body. Thank you. Thank you very much. I always, whenever you mention Anna Nicole Smith, I always like to give that one shot.
Hey.
Get into a lot of trouble.
Oh, hold on. That's from the TV show House. That's another tape.
Anna and I have been
your relationship, and we love each other, and it's been going on for a very long time. And because of my relationship as her lawyer, we felt that it was best to keep everything hidden.
Sure have. So you are the father?
Yes, sir. Proud father.
Were DNA tests taken?
Well, based on the timing of when the baby was born, there really is no doubt in either of our minds.
All right. I mean, I've got a bunch of tapes.
I think he ought to think that one through a little bit.
Some of the things that this guy said last night with the frog was that Anna Nicole did not want to trade out children. And to think about that, what it means is she didn't want, she had just given birth to one.
Yeah.
That apparently she or they had thought that it would be like trading out the one that died for the brand new one.
Ah, gotcha.
Also, another quote from him. Let me see. They don't know what caused her son's death.
Yeah, that's the big, I mean, the son was what, in his 20s?
Yeah, he was 20. The boyfriend, Howard K. Stern, the lawyer, says in the middle of the night, before he died, Daniel, that's the 20-year-old son, said to him, "How come I'm so tired?"
Wow.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night. I mean, why am I so tired? In the middle of the night, kid. Let me see. Also, he said Anna Nicole's room was not full of blood when the kid died. And secondly, Anna Nicole Smith did not scream, "It's all your fault," at Howard K. Stern after the kid died.
All right. The way I understand this story, and this is the weirdest story, I think, and it's really not getting the same kind of play as other stories are getting.
No.
They went to the Bahamas to have this baby because
they live there now.
They live there now?
Yes.
But their choice to live in the Bahamas was to avoid the scrutiny of this pregnancy. And
paparazzi!
Yeah, it's still weird, but then the kid dies, like, in her hospital room. He dies?
Right.
And he's sleeping there, and he dies in the middle of the night?
And then, because she likes her privacy so much, she sold pictures of her son for $600,000.
Of his body?
When he was alive, but hours before he died.
Jesus.
Hospitals are expensive.
But you have to admit...
Wait, pictures of her newborn?
No, of the dead son.
Of the dead son.
It's so, that is so wacky.
You got to admit, she's a piece of ass, though.
Oh, she can paint up real nice.
And when they were showing the stuff last night on the Frog Show, they were showing that how loyal this guy allegedly had been to her all over the years. And he had even been on the reality show. And when they showed her...
Just the skinny little guy that follows her around?
I don't know which guy. I mean, I never watched the show enough.
Yeah, I watched the reality show a little bit.
It was one scene where she was maybe 100 pounds heavier than she is now, and she had her hair in pigtails.
Right.
She's just eating Jell-O with her fingers and her hands. And then they cut back to the guy, and he goes, "I've loved her even since then." And then they cut to a picture of her now, and I mean, drop dead. No pun intended.
Right.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd do her with your D. I don't care who's been there.
She was in court like about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
She looked classy and she looked hot.
She is so hot.
Like my body.
Hold on. One more thing before the break, as long as we're on the topic of all things dirty. This is a true story. This is not fake. The guy from Saved by the Bell, Screech.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Speaking of the other Howard Stern, he has been on the Howard Stern show. He might have been on with ONA. I know that he's called us to come on our show.
Right.
Because he needs money.
Okay.
Robbie, what's the guy's real name?
Dustin Diamond.
That's his name.
Right. Justin Diamond.
So anyway, he's out of money. And here's the new thing. We may finally have him on the show now.
Huh.
I mean, I know for all the talk we've done about how Rob can't get guests, this is one guy that does call all the time and we always say no to him.
Okay.
We might say yes now.
Mm.
He's got his very own sex tape that he's going to start selling on the internet.
Oh, Screech. Now, didn't Screech like go through the whole bodybuilding thing?
No, but he was on Celebrity Boxing.
He was on Celebrity Boxing,
right.
Now, we received the following email from his people today. Again, dear Don and Mike, would you be interested in having former TV Dustin Diamond on your show? I know you've said no before because of the exposure, but except for being on Howard Stern's show, we can promise you he will be the first to do a radio interview with you. Blah, 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 blah. He has a videotape that he's going to be selling on the internet. Now, I can't get very graphic, so bear with me.
All right.
The letter indicates that the movie's number one act is a dirty Sanchez.
Mm.
Okay?
Google it.
Wow,
that kind of quieted the room down, didn't it?
We used to have an entire segment based on these weird sexual acts. The only thing that I can tell you about the Dirty Sanchez is the title of the movie is Saved by the Smell.
Oh.
And
wow.
It's 40 minutes of
man, desperate.
No holds barred, him doing the Dirty Sanchez, and he wants to sell this on the internet, wants to print the DVDs in his basement and sell them on the internet.
Wow.
Saved by the Smell.
So Screech really having a little trouble getting work, I would imagine.
So I think, you know what, Robbie, now that we brought it up, go ahead and get him.
Okay.
Go ahead and get him. What the hell? What the fuck?
You got me with the Dirty Sanchez. I'm just...
By the Smell.
My God.
You remember the day? You like that, don't you?
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny.
Oh, you know all about that.
You are incredibly immature.
Oh, come on, Phil. Put a sock in it.
Come on, Phil.
Phil?
You've done the Dirty Sanchez.
You're effing him like a Thanksgiving turkey.
That's a yes.
That's pretty close. All right, we'll be back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Girls with big boobs work at Hooters. Where do girls with only one leg work at? IHOP.
Now I'm laughing.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now I'm laughing.
They want to sing. La la, la 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 la. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Where is that?
La 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 la. La 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 la.
Hey, dickhead, who are you?
Hi, this is Michael Hughes.
You're a jerk off, right?
No way.
Not really, you're a jerk, right?
No.
Are you a jerk?
I am a powerful radio executive by day, male prostitute by night.
Jerk?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Hughes. Let me see. We'll have information about our next Reno-style show.
Good.
I think within, I'd like to say by the end of the week.
Oh, good.
I'd like to say that.
Of course you would.
I'd also like to have a 24-inch penis.
Hey, come on, we all know you have that. 12 is plenty.
Michael!
Yes, Anaconda.
Michael, tapes. So many goddamn tapes. I'll give you a choice here of tapes or lists.
Very good, I love choices.
Tapes or lists.
Okay.
The tapes are good, and some of them are long.
You got a big stack of them over there.
The lists are also, oh god. You know what? I'm looking at the time now. Because we care about you, the home listener.
We do.
We're trying to give, make sure that the last hour, I know you don't care, Rob, as is evidenced every day. Except I gotta go easy on that, cause Bobby Lee!
Bobby Lee, great poll today, a lot of fun talking to him.
Bobby Lee, wanna try to make sure that generally speaking, the last hour of the show is devoted to Curly's news and comments.
Very good.
Obviously, we're going to run a little bit late tonight.
Curly Bob Burbank.
Curly Bob!
So real fast, let's see. I see all the phone lines are ringing. That's also a distraction because I'd love to take your calls.
Mm-hmm.
But how about two very fast lists?
Okay.
From Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the worst chick flicks ever.
Okay. I will indicate whether I agree or disagree.
From 10 to 1. I'll do this real fast.
All right.
The Notebook.
I agree.
Sleepless in Seattle.
Agree.
Fried Green Tomatoes.
No, good movie.
Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood.
I didn't see it.
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah. Don't mess baby. Don't push baby. That's right.
What is it? Nobody puts baby in a Jerry Orbach.
The Man Boobs of Madison County.
The Bridges of Madison County. I cried at that one.
The Man Boobs. That's when Clint Eastwood takes his shirt off.
You know what? You were with me when I watched that, and we were flying across the country, and it was one of my wine flights.
Yeah, it was because you were drinking.
Yeah.
Not because you're a faggot.
Right, thank you.
He's a fag.
That only counts when you're cold sober and you're watching Rudy.
He was drinking. Bridget Jones' Diary.
Ugh.
Steel Magnolias.
Nah, not bad.
Ghost. And the number one chick flick is Beaches.
These are the good ones?
Yeah,
the worst.
The worst chick flicks up.
We came up with a great name for that last one, Bitches.
And I also got another list. This is from Harris Poll. They're the people that do all the talking to Pollocks. And they ask, this is an annual poll who is your favorite NFL team?
Hmm.
And then they ask, who is your second favorite NFL team? This is a nationwide survey.
Oh, this ought to be easy for me.
All right, so Mike, now this is not you answering personally.
No, I mean, this is what I would think would be the answer.
You're guessing for America. Yeah. Who do you think the most popular football team in America is? They did this poll last week.
Boy, you know, I'm not going to go with the obvious, because the obvious might be the Super Bowl winner. But I'm going to say, really, I think, and I'm not saying this to blow smoke, but I'm going to say, I think the Green Bay Packers.
No.
And then my second choice would be the Dallas Cowboys.
You're halfway right. Okay. Number one team, again, second year in a row, Steelers.
Yeah, well, see, the Steelers are an enigma. They have fan bases. They're very similar to the Red Sox that way.
In these Harris polls, the Steelers have gone 12th favorite, 9th favorite, 10th, 7th, 6th, 2nd, 1st.
They're a very popular bandwagon team. You get a lot of people that say, hey, Steelers.
Okay, now, second most popular team, the people like Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, way back when they were America's team.
I defy you to come up with America's third favorite team.
Cleveland.
Buzz, you're not allowed to play. You don't know a lot about sports.
America's third favorite football team?
Yes, after the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. Really, this is not a joke. I just sometimes...
And you're telling me this is a bit of a wild card, something that might not be easily understandable?
If I give you a hint, you would get it.
Just give me NFC or AFC.
AFC.
Miami Dolphins.
No. I didn't mean that.
Trebek that way.
I'm sorry.
Have the answers in front of you.
I'm sorry, and you're absolutely right. That was very Trebek.
I just think Miami from their heyday.
No.
They were a popular. All right, so you got Pittsburgh already.
It's Indianapolis.
Because of Peyton Manning.
I think because of the star power.
Yeah.
That's a bandwagon.
Peyton Manning is the guy. I mean, he's the new Joe Montana.
Popular team, then Green Bay, number 4.
All right, I knew they'd be in the top 5.
New England Patriots, number 5.
Well, that's Super Bowl victories.
Yeah. Bears, number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Eagles, number 7. 49ers, number 8.
Yeah, I was going to say the 49ers were.
The Giants, number 9.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big surprise rounding out the top 10. The Raiders. The Oakland Raiders are America's 10th favorite football team.
And the Washington Redskins not in the top 10.
No, the Redskins are number 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Ooh.
Right in the middle of the pack.
Ooh.
How
about who doesn't rise up?
So I look at this list and I see the team that really America has proven in the years that they've done this poll since 1998.
Right.
The team that nobody likes. Can you guess the team that every single year ends up with 1%? Yeah, you understand?
I have to ask you a question before I answer this. Is it a new team?
No.
Okay, then I'm going to say the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's misleading. New since, let's say, since at least the mid-70s.
And they come up with they're the bottom of the pack.
For instance... the Pittsburgh Steelers, 26% of Americans think they're number 1.
Okay.
Moving on down to the Packers at number 4, they're at 16%. This particular team, 1998, 1% of Americans said this is their favorite team. 1999, 1%.
Mm.
2000, 1%. 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, and now 2006. America's least favorite football team, according to the Harris poll.
It's in the AFC.
It's
in the AFC Central.
I'm not sure what division, but it's in the AFC. I'll give you one hint.
All right.
Poo-tinky.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah!
Wow!
Yeah!
Wow!
God damn it, it's too bad Alan Ludden is not alive, because you and I would win a fortune on passwords.
I would think the whole Florida thing, the whole expansion when they had that success in the early... part of their, I mean, they came out of the gate and they had great success.
Nobody in America likes the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You know what I think has a lot to do with it? I think it's a color scheme. It's the way the uniforms look. It's like, I think the Carolina Panthers are probably a lot more popular.
You know, I was amazed.
And they came into the league at the same time.
Right.
Even a suck team like the Arizona Cardinals, more people have said over the last 10 years that they're their favorite team.
Your bottom five. I'll give you the bottom five most popular teams. The Houston Texans.
Yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Charm City. Your Baltimore Ravens.
Wow, that does surprise me because of their Super Bowl success.
Ouch.
The New Orleans Saints.
What?
And the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Wow.
Those are America's favorite and least favorite.
Probably, you know, if you did demographic breakouts as far as population, would that have anything to do with the size of the markets? Houston is.
They just ask people across America, regardless of where you live, who's your favorite team? Yeah, Green. As I said yesterday, Green Bay is very tiny. They're like number four. So anyway,
and Green Bay has that whole marketing approach that people love the stuff and all that.
Yeah, I hate it.
The tractors.
All for Brett.
I mean, you go back really with the history of the NFL. You've got the Lombardi factor too. Yeah, we're very popular.
What the hell's going on out there?
Marie, there's a yellow stain on my tank top.
Can you imagine if he was T.O.'s coach?
Oh.
You took 35 pills, you stupid MFR.
Drop it, give me 20.
Get star warning. Get me T.O.
I remember the days Forrest Gregg would dislocate his finger and pop it right back in. Pussy.
Who are you?
Vince Lombardi. Whoa.
Who's dressed like a faggot on a bicycle?
Marie, if you put any more mustard on this ham, I'm going to give you a knuckle sandwich.
Where's the cigarette, sir?
God almighty, I got to go to work. Where's my tweed hat?
Hello, Lombardi here. What? He took 35. What?
Well, he's going to take 35 kicks to his rump with my boot.
Hey, T.O., this is VL. Get your ASS down here now.
I don't care if you're woozy. Get on the practice field, you bastard.
You big pussy.
Who am I?
I'm Vince Lombardi.
Your coach.
Woo.
Whoa.
Scared?
Scared, T.O.? You should be. You pill popper. I don't want pill poppers on my team.
When you're a Green Bay Packer, you achieve success. You tried to kill yourself, and you failed. You will not be starting for the Green Bay Packers this week.
If you ever want to do that again, do it like a man and tend to the task at hand with a double-barreled shotgun. Lay off the dope, Owens. I'm Vince Lombardi.
Fellas, above the bulletin board, there's a picture of a long-haired hippie named Kurt Cobain. Owens, this should be you.
Be a man.
You can't catch a pass. You can't kill yourself.
Jump off the press box at Lambeau, pussy. This is VL, Vince Lombardi. Popping pills. What, so you can go into a nice dreamland sleep? Not on my watch.
Hey, BS. This is VL. Did you hear what T.O. did?
Listen, the next time you're feeling sad and you want to go away forever, you kiss the pack of 12 gauge. You understand me, T.O.?
Hi, folks, it's VL. You get yourself a nice, cool gun. And I know we're running late. I'm sorry. I just violated the very thing I said we would do with Buzz. But as long as we're on the topic of Lombardi and T.O., which kind of leads back to Parcells. Could you ever imagine the great Vince Lombardi doing those cheese-ass commercials that Bill Parcells is where it goes, hey, dads, do you want your sons to grow up to learn how to play football? If you're too lazy to throw a ball with them, buy this DVD. And it's like, hi, I'm Bill Parcells.
Right.
I can teach your son everything about being a man.
I think Bill Parcells has the same love of the American dollar that John Madden has.
Yeah, but John Madden has Ace Hardware Outback Steakhouse, the diamonds of the advertising world. Parcells has some homemade DVD.
I know.
With him throwing the ball like the 10-year-old.
Right. I know what Vince Lombardi would do a commercial for.
What?
Johnsonville brats. Those are great brats. Nice. I tell Marie to throw a few in the skillet, and I'm regular for months.
Hi, folks. It's VL for Preparation A.
There you go.
On a Packers Sunday,
My ass is on fire.
Man, I tell you, there's nothing worse than those ruptured blood vessels.
This is Vince Lombardi for Winston.
I'm Vince Lombardi. They're smooth and easy on your throat. Smoke away, Packer fans.
T-who? Did you or did you not attempt to kill yourself? Did you achieve the task at hand?
No, because you took the wussy girly pills, and you didn't suck the shotgun like I told you to. If you're going to do it again, do it right.
Do it the Packer way.
Because the key to your success with your suicide plans is hard work.
Buzz, we'll come back with Bob's news.
All right.
And there is no more T.O. news to report, is there, Buzz?
No, nothing new, nothing fresh.
This is Vince Lombardi for Winston Cigarettes. They turn your teeth green and gold, just like the Packer colors.
We'll be back with Bob's news 20 minutes later than I said it would be. Sorry, Buzz.
Packer right. Fans.
Got on a roll.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They'll make you shart. The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow. So we've still not done the whole fantasy football thing for this week.
Yeah, but we don't need that. We can skip
sure
a week.
Sure we do.
Next week.
Sure we do. What's your record, Buzz?
0-3. No, right. 1-2. No, 2-1.
It's time now for Bob's news and comments.
It's one of those.
See, that's why we've got to do it. So Buzz knows how his team is doing.
Yeah, so he knows what his record is.
Anyway, tomorrow, the return of Donnie's Naked Cruelty.
Ooh!
With a brand new PC name, Donnie's Naked Honesty.
Ah, I like it.
And a man who sells baby toupees.
Been driving on that man's wet on the wheel.
Baby toupees.
Yes.
Wow.
Another great booking from Kong Incorporated.
There it is.
And now here's Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Justice took a detour this week in Texas. The man behind the scams that wrecked Enron and rooked its investors will not be going to prison for as long as everyone thought.
Why?
A Houston judge has ruled that Andrew Fastow will get a lighter sentence than he plea bargained for, maybe less than 6 years instead of the expected up to 10. Judge says Fastow earned the 4-year reduction in his sentence by cooperating with prosecutors.
You full-fledged slut.
Even though Fastow had already agreed to serve 10 years for stealing people's life savings, and even though he'd already been given a break on his sentence for cooperating with prosecutors.
Just so I follow in the script, you're still Enron next stepping, right?
Yes, absolutely. Right. And I think rightly so.
And I'm not saying that they don't deserve it. I like following along in the script.
I appreciate
the
that.
The smartest guys in the room.
Hey, and is it justice or just us?
So there must be something more to
why
this.
Do you think they call it the human race?
Right up.
Soylent Green is people.
There is another factor to the story. The judge says Fastow and his family have suffered enough.
Who run Bartertown?
Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah?
Nothing personal.
Fastow says he accepts his up to 6 years without bitterness.
That is my skull. I'm so wasted.
Remember, that is a tasty burger.
Remember...
He's doing some Pulp Fiction there. I know Mike's doing Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
In Amsterdam, they call it a Royale with cheese.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. We're just randomly shouting out lines from our favorite movies.
I enjoy that.
You can play the game if you like.
Oh, no, thank you. It's fun. You'd enjoy it.
I'm not very good at it.
There's Jews at my table. Mike, please.
Carol the Waitress?
Simon the Fag.
Now, come on, would you do
it? Oh, you want me to do the Jack Knife the Real version?
There's Jews at my table.
And now the other one?
Carol the Waitress? Simon the Fag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, be so happy.
Thank you.
Hercules!
I got the whole Nicholson thing going.
Because
I want to see that movie. I want that movie to come out now. Today. Now.
I think we're going to get Nicholson on the show.
Right.
There you go. Remember the prosecutors in Santa Rosa, California, who lost the computer that would have allegedly nailed John Mark Carr on child pornography charges?
Yes, sir.
Since it turns out he didn't kill Jean Benet, at least they had this on him. And prosecutors said losing the computer they seized from his home was really no big deal because they had it all backed up on hard drive and had printed out some examples.
hard.
Well, it also turns out that not having the actual evidence is kind of a big deal. And not telling the judge you lost the evidence, priceless. She read about it in the newspaper. So now the judge is considering whether to dismiss the charges, all of them, against John Mark Carr.
Here comes the judge. Boy.
And while we're hopscotch in courtrooms, the founder of Girls Gone Wild has pleaded guilty to not thoroughly checking the IDs of the girls who go wild. Turns out some of the young women were more young than women, and these 17-year-olds didn't just... expose themselves.
Oh, look out!
They did things at the encouragement of an adult with a video camera. The law takes a dim view of this sort of thing. For 33-year-old multimillionaire Joe Francis, the cost of doing business is $500,000 fine.
Francis!
That's if the judge goes along with the deal when the case goes back to court a week before Christmas. Joe sells a lot of videos at Christmas.
Crazy, Mr. Herman.
When we were on a holiday when I was up in Ocean City, Maryland, mm-hmm. I was reading in the local paper there in Dewey Beach,
right?
Which is in Delaware. They had a whole big thing about some girl that got drunk, you know, the girls gone wild, and the scandal up there is that the cops were involved in it somehow. And
oh, wow.
I think that's part of the story, too, that, like, that cops get in with this guy, and they, mm-hmm. they allow the girls to drink underage so they can watch the movies, right?
Exactly. That's how he operates. And if you ever buy it, Volume 3 has my wife in it.
Didn't CSI, one of the CSIs, do a thing on the girls gone wild type of guys? It was CSI Miami.
I think it was CSI Miami.
Yeah. I know that's irrelevant there.
Why is Girls Gone Wild still so popular? I mean, now you can get so much better porno. I mean, really, who can sit and work
it? And then I sat and really worked it.
Who can sit and work it when you got some drunk chick and you got the guy going, you know, man, I'm so hot. Let me see those big cans.
Yeah, I mean, what you're doing is seeing usually a very sweaty girl pulling up her top about 20 minutes before she pukes.
And the problem with that is... No.
Right, okay. I forgot who we were speaking to, Bob.
Yeah. There are a lot of fine gentlemen's clubs in Tampa, Florida, but the place...
Now, that's, I'm going to give some applause for that.
Bronze Venus.
But you haven't been here, I'll bet. The area known as East Hillsborough Avenue has, in the eyes of the law, gotten out of hand. Actually, hands-on is one of the things you can get on that street, along with your choice of drugs from your choice of drug dealers. The lap dances on Hillsborough Avenue are touchier. That's why the recent rash of arrests on that street.
Well, there's Hillsborough, and then there's Dale Mabry. Things I remember.
Don't forget Shrinsky Boulevard.
Well, now, sure. Some of the guys who touched and got touched there on Hillsborough Avenue were vice cops, and the investigation was thorough. Vice cops got 92 lap dances just to make sure it was a righteous bust.
God.
At a cost for the taxpayers of well over $6,000. In the officer's defense, those VIP rooms can get pretty expensive. When we return, sex in the air traffic control tower.
Oh, hello. Oh,
all right, okay.
All right, Buzz.
Yeah.
Well, do we have any commercials?
You do, sadly.
Okay, all right.
Kong, the eighth wonder of the world!
You like it when I make it seem like he's got to say it in the show? Yeah.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening, fat ass. The Don and Mike Show.
And now, once again, here is our friend Robert Elston.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Don and Mike. As he slipped his mechanical pencil into his pocket protector, he said to his comely assistant, "You're clear to approach my tower." Who knows how it went, but an air traffic controller in Denver is being investigated for having sex with a subordinate while they were on the job, while planes were in the air. The tower, where lives are at stake, and the enemy is distraction. The FAA is investigating why this guy still has his job, especially since he's a supervisor looking over the shoulders of the guys who are watching over the planes.
Well, now, in those towers, don't they have like a million people in there? I mean, they got like 30 guys up there.
They do, and each guy is at a screen watching his assigned plane.
Don't you remember?
A supervisor coordinates the whole thing.
Speaking of Billy Bob,
yeah,
fans of that movie Pushing Tim.
Great
John
movie.
Cusack,
great
and,
movie.
And Billy Bob. That really accurately depicts what it's like being an air traffic controller.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Billy Bob's squeeze Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes, she was, as a matter of fact.
That's when they first started getting jiggy with it.
Yeah, and the blood.
necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. The only shoulder this Paul Conway was looking over was that of a female employee who was banging in his office, according to FAA documents.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the jumbo jet straight into the hangar. Maybe it went something like that. Never mind the dysfunction pill warning about 4 hours. Here's a guy who had one for 10 years.
Oh, my God.
There'll be no money shot for
a boner?
No, yes.
A boner for 10 years.
But no money shot for former handyman Charles Lennon of North Providence, Rhode Island.
That handy.
Despite 10 years of considerable discomfort, Charles wanted to sue the people responsible for his malfunctioning penile implant, and he won over $400,000 for it in court.
I've wanted to sue Jennifer Aniston ever since I first saw Friends.
That's a fair claim.
$400,000, not enough.
Sadly, the judge has now agreed to dismiss Charles' claim. For 10 years, Charles had wood made of plastic and steel, and it isn't fun. Quoting him, I'm suffering with it right now. By the way, Viagra hit the market about 2 years after he got the implant.
Stand up quickly.
I remember his nickname in the locker room. We called him the coat rack.
Yeah, baby.
Nothing to see here. Walk it off.
Walk it off.
Protecting America's children from art when we continue.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Wow.
The time flies.
Who's running this show?
I don't know.
It will be right now.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
The show with more comedy and less moonbeds. Don and Mike.
And now, let's do it. Here's Disco Stew. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Public television says it's being bullied by the FCC in editing the salty language in its war documentaries. When S is blowing up around soldiers, they tend to say F a lot. This includes the upcoming Ken Burns World War II epic due to air next year. PBS says the FCC has made it abundantly clear there will be fines to pay if any coarse words are heard before 10 p.m.
Wow.
PBS says it's also having an internal debate about whether to put black tape over a $20,000 antiques roadshow item. A previously undiscovered nude photo of Marilyn Monroe.
Hey, I saw that in the paper today. Didn't they say that it's not 100% it's her, that it might be a lookalike?
There's question about it, but the thing's been valued at $20,000. It's a picture that's never been seen before and probably Norma Jean's first nude pose. Photo was found by a roofing contractor here in the Washington, D.C. area. Photo was in a stash of porn hidden in an attic in the suburb of Falls Church, Virginia.
Yeah, we know whose attic that was.
The roofer says he threw a lot of that stuff away, but kept a few things he liked, which I guess is why he's decided to remain anonymous.
Oh, don't fret.
Finally,
bro.
In Frisco, Texas.
I'm starved. Who's got a chip?
In Frisco, Texas, an art teacher's been suspended for taking her grade school kids to the big art museum in Dallas. Suspended for taking the kids to a museum because one of the parents found out that one of the museum sculptures is a nude statue. Who knew? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time. All right, Buzz. We gotta fly. Just be like, we used to work with an engineer who had a lot of pornography stashed in the drop ceiling in his office.
Said it wasn't his. It was in the drop ceiling in his office. And it was old, too. And fat.
And gay.
You gotta go.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Hey, good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Enjoy the movie. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you have a delightful dinner tonight.
Fish sticks.
Honor of a cold. Good night.
Weight Watchers.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.